Frank DeMarco Show.
You're listening to the Perfect 10 Scarlet Bordeaux, and that's not, that came off really weird. Oh my god, see, this is what happens when you're trying too hard. That's what happens. That's, I just gotta, this is, third time's a charm. This is the Perfect 10 Scarlet Bordeaux, and you're listening to the Greg DeMarco Show, the only show, the best show on the web.
Because you know you're so high!
See, I'm gonna get off the phone, I'm gonna think of something so much better.
Greg DeMarco Show.
Patrick O'Dowd.
You are not the five.
Yes! 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 And I'm awesome!
All right, I think that's enough sound bites for one day. No show opening today because...
You ain't on the list, bro.
Because we're literally going to jump right in and have some fun. This is a very special edition of the Greg DeMarco Show with Greg DeMarco and Patrick O'Dowd. And I do believe Patrick O'Dowd has located us on the Skype. Patrick O'Dowd, are you there?
I hope so.
That is a thing of beauty. This is, I'm in a different studio. I don't know where anything is. This is a lot of fun, but I do have this.
Which is probably the most important thing you could have.
No, that's Sue Young. She's on hold.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, but I mean, this is a close. This isn't even a close second, but it is second to me. Anyway.
No, this isn't. You're right about that. It's not a close second. Not in the least.
But I will tell you, I always get all tingly hearing this music, man. It's all exciting, anticipation.
Yeah. Nice try, though.
Patrick O'Dowd, As we bring everyone on, we're going to kick things off. This is our WrestleMania preview special here on the Greg DeMarco Show. We're going to run down the card, make some predictions, have a lot of fun. But we're going to bring everybody in by asking the question of what your favorite WrestleMania memory is. Or you can do your first WrestleMania memory. It's really up to you. 30 or so seconds, just kind of let everybody know what that is. And that's how we'll introduce everybody. And, of course, Mr. Wrestling Realist, at Wrestling Realist on the Twitter, you get to go first.
Ooh. Mine's pretty easy, man. It's WrestleMania 26, waving goodbye to Shawn Michaels after he lost to The Undertaker for his retirement. We were there together.
Yeah, actually, if you go back and watch the DVD, Patrick O'Dowd literally runs on the stage and waves goodbye. They whisk him off. So I did.
I held the curtain for him.
Yeah, look for some redheaded dude. And they drag him off stage, kicking and screaming. And then you can see me laughing at him as this happens. No,
and he didn't bail me out after that. That was a lonely night in jail.
It was. The banks weren't open until the morning. And if you remember, the other work I did that weekend, the check bounced. So
that is true.
That is actually true. WrestleMania 26 does stand out for me as well, because it wasn't the best WrestleMania, but the anticipation leading up to going to our first WrestleMania Live, that was a big deal and lots of fun. So that's something that I will ever forget. Even though the Money in the Bank was a letdown and Edge Jericho wasn't that great, but
Jack Swagger not able to get the briefcase off the hook.
No,
I took 148 pictures.
I know, it's crazy.
I was working the camera like crazy. So
by the time it got dark and you could see all the lights, because I don't think they anticipated how bright it would be until the last hour of the show, it was pretty damn cool.
Absolutely.
So definitely something that I would highly recommend, going to a WrestleMania if you have not ever been to a WrestleMania, because it is more than worth it. So we're going to have you hang out as we bring everybody else on the air. And at this point, we're going to welcome into the show our good friend.
Let's go!
100%
reason to remember the name.
At CP Goat on the Twitter machine, Chad Perry, what's your favorite WrestleMania memory for the people?
I think I have to go back to the WrestleMania I think is the greatest, and WrestleMania 17, the main event with Stone Cold turning heel. As much as, you know, the heel run didn't go the way that, you know, many of us wanted to, it was still an epic moment to end the Attitude Era, basically.
Yeah, it really was. It defined a lot. And you're right, it didn't last, but at the time, it was shocking that Stone Cold Steve Austin would align himself with Vince McMahon. And I remember back in the message board days, actually writing on the message board that he should turn and then also jump on Vince and beat the crap out of Vince anyway and kind of be his own man. That's not what we got, but it wasn't anything in the way that I would have done it. But that's just usually how it works in the world of wrestling. But yeah, it's a part of WrestleMania history because that heel turn is something. And some people are predicting we're going to get one of those this year. I don't know about that, but we'll get to that. So Chad, we'll have you hang on for 1 second as we kind of bring in the carousel of people here, which will be a lot of fun. And my job is we bring in another good friend.
Tony Massaro.
I got to be right now, cause I can't get much stronger. Man, I've been waiting all night now. That's how long I've been on ya.
And that would, of course, be Tony Massaro, at Tony Massaro 411 on the Twitter. Tony, favorite WrestleMania memory?
AJ. No, I'm kidding. I also took 150 pictures of my TV last year. No, I would have to say The Undertaker's return as the Dead Man, WrestleMania 20. It was an intense feeling. I got goosebumps the moment Paul Bearer's voice was heard and the Druids came out and all that good stuff. It just sticks out.
Yeah, definitely, and obviously, you know, I kind of miss the motorcycle persona, but I don't just don't know if they could ever work that in again, because the Dead Man persona is, that's the icon. That's what everyone always going to remember forever. So that is definitely what we should definitely have and remember. So that is a good one. WrestleMania 20, of course, also went down in history for the main event that we're not allowed to talk about. No one's allowed to talk about. So that's another member of our panel, almost a year to the date of his last appearance on the Greg DeMarco Show.
I am perfection.
Steve Cook.
And you remembered how to get here, which is good. You didn't forget the directions.
And I've missed that song too.
Yeah, well,
I love that song. Love that song.
That's I could send it to you, and you could make it your ringtone if I get the old computer back and working.
Nice.
So Steve Cook, of course, it's good to have you back after an absence. Tell the people what, of course, is your favorite WrestleMania memory.
The first WrestleMania I got to watch on the television screen as it actually happened was WrestleMania 14. And I grew up, I was a big Steve Austin fan. I saw him back in WCW. He was part of the Hollywood Blondes with Brian Pillman. I became a fan instantly right then and there. And as an Austin fan through that time and through ECW, and he came to WWF as a huge fan of Stone Cold kicking ass and taking names. And, of course, him winning the WWF title, WrestleMania 14, that pretty much the Austin era began, as Jim Ross said. And WWF went on to a higher plane, record-setting business, and Stone Cold, Stone Cold, Stone Cold. And you also had Pete Rose getting Tombstone, so that's pretty cool, too, as a baseball fan that I am.
Yeah, by a heel Kane, which, of course, got him quite the face reaction where the show was. And the thing about that was also the WrestleMania where everyone thought, you know, that was Shawn Michaels' last match wrestling Austin. And, of course, he didn't retire until 12 WrestleManias later. So
close enough.
Yeah, exactly. You know, ish. You know, give or take 12 WrestleManias. So, very good. Well, hang on.
Not so bad.
Hang on there, Steve Cook. And then, of course, our final panel of the show.
We're beautiful and we rest.
Would you shut the hell up?
That was just my way of cutting you short. Sue Young, how are you doing?
Awesome. I'm so excited to be here.
I know. Sue, not with us on Sunday because she was literally in an airplane flying over the United States of America. So we're glad that you're back here with us. And you are the only female on our panel of six, period. So it's just like an indie locker room here on a Wednesday night, which is great for you. And Sue, give us your first WrestleMania memory or your favorite WrestleMania memory.
My first and favorite WrestleMania memory, because, I mean, like, I didn't really get to watch many WrestleManias because my dad really limited me on the internet because I was underage. But my first WrestleMania memory was definitely WrestleMania 19 when they came over to Seattle, Washington. And that was an amazing card itself. I think, of course, my favorite match was going to be the women's match, which is a triple threat for the women's championship between Jazz, Trish Stratus, and Victoria. And that was phenomenal to watch. All three women were really, really amazing in the ring. But, I mean, there is just, like, a long list. I mean, like, Chris Jericho versus Shawn Michaels, you know. They had, of course, Booker T versus Triple H, which was awesome. And then, you know, just Hulk Hogan versus Vince McMahon. And then seeing Brock Lesnar doing the Shooting Star Press, almost breaking his neck. It was just, like, a crazy card. But it was awesome. It was such a good, you know, that was my favorite WrestleMania history moment.
Yeah, that card, I mean, the top of that card was amazing. The five-match top of that card were incredible. And it definitely goes down in history. And we'll see if this year's does as well. And, of course, if you're listening now, when we're done with the WrestleMania preview, you could even tune in after the show is over. We're going to do a live commercial taping where Sue Young and I are going to tape a commercial for the Greg DeMarco Show proper, the Sunday edition, over on Sports Rants Radio. So you can choose to listen in if you want to. Maybe I'll even ask Sue a bonus question after it's over just to make it worth your while. So, yeah, we'll see. I literally just came up with that right now. So we'll find out. So excellent. So we'll put Sue on hold. Now, this is I'll warn everybody listening as well as our panelists that are all on hold right now. At some point, I will call one person's name and take the other person off hold. That's just the way that things work around here. But I put people on hold, so this way if they're doing something, taking a drink or something like that, they can do so without worrying about being heard or anything like that. So unless I say otherwise, we'll put everybody on hold. Of course, everybody got their rundown, so we'll go in order. I will keep track of the picks as best I can, and we'll get things going. And, of course, the only way to kick things off is the way the WWE is going to kick things off, and that is with the pre-show match, which is going to be for the Intercontinental Championship as the champion Wade Barrett defends against The Miz. So we're going to jump right in with our good friend Chad Perry. Chad, of course, your thoughts on the match and pick the winner.
I find it interesting. This is a match. We got moved to the pre-show. I was a little worried that it wasn't going to be Jericho Fandango. I thought, of course, it would have been the 8-person tag as well, which with that little leaked timesheet that got released today is nowhere to be seen on there, actually. It's a match that, you know, looks like it's going to be The Miz winning. We talked about it on Sunday. Anyone who listened on Sunday knows I'm not happy about it. And it's not because I don't like The Miz, just because I don't like The Miz's current character. And I feel it's just not working out for me. Might be my own problem. But that being said, yeah, Miz is going over, and it'll be technically 4-1, or 1-1 if we want to count his record on the pre-shows, 3-0 on WrestleMania, however you want to look at it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if they count that first loss. I don't think they will. But, and I'll talk about why here in a moment. So there we go. We got our first win for The Miz. Now we're going to turn it over to my usual broadcast colleague, the wrestling realist, Patrick O'Dowd. Your thoughts on the match and, of course, your winner with The Miz and Wade Barrett.
Well, Chad already hinted at it already. I pretty much was like, it's not just an if The Miz is going to win. I think it's a definite. I think he's going to win. I think they've done too much with him and the whole figure four and submission thing that's where they're going to go. So I don't even think it's really something that we can question. I think The Miz goes over, he gets the champ, he's the face, so you get the happy pop going into the actual show itself.
There we go. So two votes for The Miz, and now we're going to throw things over to the man who lives on the right side of the country, at least in my opinion, and that is Tony Acero. Tony, your thoughts on The Miz and Wade Barrett, and of course your winner.
See, it's funny, because I live on the left side, but it's also the right side.
But it's definitely the right side.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with everyone. The Miz is going to win. This is a match that I don't care too much about. I think it's going to be a good match, but first of all, it's on the pre-show, so that says enough. But secondly, it's just another way of them trying to force-feed us The Miz as a face, which they haven't realized isn't getting over.
Gotcha. So officially you are going with The Miz as well?
Like a referee whistle, homie.
There we go. So we got yet another vote for The Miz, and then we'll put you on hold. And now Steve Cook. Steve Cook, you get to make your selection, of course. Your thoughts on the match and your winner between The Miz and Wade Barrett.
You know, if I'm The Miz, I don't really want to win this match because winning the Intercontinental title is pretty much like signing your death warrant. You just lose match after match after match after the IC title holder, apparently. That's all Barrett's done since he got the title. And like Patrick hinted at earlier there, it's always good to send the fans into the show with a victory for the babyface, although how over The Miz is always kind of questionable, but... WWE seems to think the guy is over, and I hate to make it like 4-0 here, but that's just how I see it going. The Miz, and he's awesome or something, I guess.
There you go. So The Miz picks up another selection there. It is 4-0 for The Miz. And now we'll go over to Sue Young. Sue Young, your thoughts on the pre-show match between Wade Barrett and The Miz, and of course, who do you think is going to win?
Is Ric Flair coming out with The Miz?
I know he canceled his engagements for this weekend due to the passing of Reed Flair, so I don't think he'll be there.
Okay. Well, obviously it's going to be The Miz, but I mean, I really want Wade Barrett to win because I'm a huge Wade Barrett fan, and I hope maybe if The Miz has the title that this actually pushes Wade Barrett up, as in, like, I like the sadistic Wade Barrett. I want to see more of that. And if it means The Miz getting the title, then so be it.
There we go. So yet another selection for The Miz. And I get to make my pick. And I don't like the fact this match is on the pre-show, only because I was at least holding out hope that Antonio Cesaro would make it to the pre-show. However, it's not that way. He's not on the card. It is The Miz versus Wade Barrett. I think The Miz is going to win. I think they are going to try to pretend that he's undefeated at WrestleMania and keep that going for a few years at least, which is something I think they might do long-term for years in the future with multiple guys. But it is the pre-show as well. You put a title change on the pre-show, entice people to watch. The face does go over, regardless of how over he is as the face. So I'm going to go The Miz as well. Therefore, it is a clean sweep on the pre-show for The Miz, which isn't totally surprising because we all kind of seem to understand exactly what they want to do with the pre-show. But, yeah, The Miz picks up every single selection.
And I'm awesome!
And now we're going to move on to the mixed tag team match where we have Tons of Funk, which is, of course, Brodus Clay and Tensai, teaming with Cameron and Naomi, the Funkadactyls, taking on Team Road Scholars, who most people have to conveniently forget broke up and then never stopped teaming. Damian Sandow and Cody Rhodes, and the returning Bella Twins, who return to find their way on the WrestleMania card. And Patrick O'Dowd, we'll kick things off with you. Your thoughts on this matchup, and of course, who you think is going to pick up the win.
This is a match I think is fun and a throwaway, and I completely don't care what happens one way or the other. I think that it's a toss-up. Either group can win. I'm going to go with Road Scholars and the Bella Twins just because I find them to be a more compelling and fun group to watch. You know, Cody and Sandow are entertaining on their own. They're entertaining together. You just can't go wrong, and I don't like fat guys who can dance.
There you go. So first choice there, first selection for Team Road Scholars. What do you have against fat guys who can dance?
Well, I'm a fat guy who can't dance, so I'm a little jealous of
that. Oh, right. All right, I'll give that to you.
There you go.
We'll give you that one. So jump on over right now to Tony Acero. Tony, your thoughts on the match, and of course, who you think is going to win?
Patrick, you could dance if you want to. You can leave your friends behind. this is another match that I don't care for. But this is a different kind of apathy. This is the apathy of fun. This is one of those classic matches where it's just cool to see. I'm gonna go with the Road Scholars because it's one of the few matches that I can, Team Road Scholars. It's one of the few matches that I can pick, and it doesn't matter. Just because I love Cody's mustache. So, yeah, and I agree with the whole tag team thing. I mean, I once broke up with a girl, and we continued to tag team very long after for a while. So I can relate.
Only yeah, Tony.
Hey, yo. Can somebody call my mama? It's about to get funky up in here. Yeah.
Steve Cook, I'm sure you're glad to see that nothing has changed with the sound bites since you
Nothing's changed the sound bites. Nothing's changed Tony Acero. I love it.
That's
I love
exactly.
it. Fantastic.
Some things stay the same. So give us your thoughts on the match, Steve, and, of course, what you think is going to happen.
And Team Red Scholars never should have changed. I mean, they tried to break him up there for a minute, and they realized, wait, we have nothing for these guys to do. So let's put them back together. It works. It's a good time.
I think they broke up on Raw and then, like, teamed again on SmackDown. Like, I think it was
they had that house show exclusive reunion tour for the New Age Outlaws, and then they brought it to TV because, again, they had nothing for the guys to do. So, but I like the team, so I'm not complaining. And I love the Bella Twins, so not complaining about that either. They came back on – they had the match on Raw with the Funkadactyls, had a nice-looking demolition ring attire. Very good. Very good stuff. I've liked the Bella and Funkadactyls matches on SmackDown and Raw, so – that's a good time. I like Sweet Tea a lot more than I like Lord Tensai, so that's also a step in the right direction. And, well, I mean, the match doesn't mean a whole lot in the long run and whatnot. At least they've given them a little feud. They got all these people on the show. It's a good time. And I think to enhance the good times, you have the big dancing bears, the tons of funk. You have the Funkadactyls. They get the win. They dance around. Everybody's happy. And maybe they won't have those Funkadactyl. They won't have the Bros Clay Mamas back this year, I don't think.
Hope not.
But I do think the Dancing Bears and the Funkadactyls get the win, just for good times.
All right, so a win for the faces. First person to pick a win for the faces in this match. Sue Young, what are your thoughts on the match and what you think is going to happen?
I think for marketing reasons, tons of funk and the Funkadactyls are definitely going to win. But this is going to be an awesome match because I feel that there's going to be a lot of entertainment and a lot of fun stuff as well as, you know, the cat fighting, but I'm wondering, is this a match that kind of like took over the Divas Championship match because there's girls in it?
I guess so. It's
because I don't see one.
There's not one. That's the sad part about it. They did a little something with Caitlin and AJ, but I'm sure it's going to lead to them being in opposite corners of the tag title match that we'll talk about here shortly. But, yeah, this is pretty much the only occurrence of any women on the card, at least in a wrestling capacity.
I'm really excited to see more interaction between the Funkadactyls and the Bella Twins because I think that the two mixtures, like I love watching Naomi on screen and I love watching, you know, what Cameron can do, I guess. And then also seeing the Bella Twins on screen is also a delight. But I love the technicality within Team Road Scholars and the Bella Twins, but I think tons of funk and the Funkadactyls are going over.
There we go. So, and you're not the only one, I'm sure, that loves to see the Bella Twins. That's for sure. And then, of course, last but not least, well, except for me, Chad Perry, your thoughts on the match and who you think is going to take this one home?
I think, like everyone else said, it's a fun little throwaway match that, you know, gets eight people WrestleMania payday, two of those who just came back to the company, two of those who haven't wrestled too much. And it's great to see Tensai, you know, actually getting a role that is entertaining. It's a role that I've been behind, you know, since, you know, he came out there in drag about 3 months ago now, and the crowd's gotten behind him. So it's good. I'm guessing this will be a little bit higher up the card, you know, breaking up some of the bigger matches as opposed to possibly being the opener, which would be an automatic face win, in my opinion. But I'm still going to go with Tons of Funk and the Funkadelics winning.
There we go. So it's another vote for the faces. And it's 3-2 with the heels leading at this point. And what Chad said, I kind of agree with. You could really put this match anywhere on the card. I do think it'll kind of break things up. I remember the Divas tag last year, which of course included Maria Menounos going far longer than anyone expected and being far better than anyone expected. And I think this is going to be one of those two. And hopefully we get to see some standout performances, especially by Damian Sandow, who was just a guy waiting to win. I think because it's going to be later on the card, I actually think that the heels are going to go over. And so I am going to pick Team Road Scholars and the Bella Twins to pick up the victory in this one, giving them the win in our poll at least. With four votes versus the two that Sue and Chad had for the faces. So there you go, going with Team Road Scholars as a group and the Bella Twins. Next up is a match that I am very excited about, well, a guy that I've been very passionate about since he debuted, and especially in recent weeks, and that is Chris Jericho versus Fandango, a match that I'm very excited to talk about. And the first guy that's going to talk about that on our show today is, of course, Tony Acero. Tony, your thoughts on the match and your winner.
I'm not going to give them to you until you say my name right.
Okay, I'll put you back on hold. And I'll no. bring Sue back on the air. I'll just talk to Sue for the whole time.
No, what was I going this is actually a tough one, because if they do it right, Fandango can lose and still be, you know, a great star. If they don't do it right, which I don't think they'll do it wrong, then I see him winning. So I think I'm going to go with him winning and just stick with that and probably change my mind in 5 minutes. Yeah, I'm gonna go with him winning.
So you're going with Fandango?
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that was your pick. Steve Cook, what about you? Your thoughts on the match and who you think is going to pick up the win?
I'm a huge fan of the Fandango character. I think they've done a lot of good stuff with him so far with his debut and how they delayed it week after week because people couldn't say the man's name right. And they've gotten mixed up now with Chris Jericho. And quite frankly, this is a huge match for Fandango. It's his first match under the persona, of course. But you're on the big stage at WrestleMania. You're against Chris Jericho, one of the best workers in the business. If you have a bad match here, it does not bode well for you as a character. So Fandango's got to come out. He's got to have a huge match. He's got to produce. He's got to hit that Alabama jam. He's got to hit every other offense move you can think of to stand out, to wow the people, and show people he belongs. He's for real, that he has some staying power, which, you know, I think it's a great character. Does he have staying power? I don't know. But like we find out here, Chris Jericho do anything he can, I think, to get the guy over, because that's what Chris Jericho does. And Jericho loses every match almost always. I mean, he wins occasionally, but he can lose from here till next century. He'll still be over. So I think Fandango does get the win. And me, you, Jerry Lawler, we're all very excited.
Yes. Yes, we are. And I know you're on board with the character as well. People aren't. And I'm glad to see that you are, because he's definitely been very surprising since he got started. So we'll see what happens there. Next up on our agenda is, of course, Sue Young. Sue, your thoughts on the character, the match, and, of course, who you think is going to win.
I think that a lot of people underestimate Fandango or Fandango because they didn't really get to see him very much, like, unless they watched the NXT stuff and, you know, all the FCW stuff. But I feel that he's going to get the win on Chris Jericho because, I mean, it's just going to be a tremendous match. We're all going to win on this match. But as to him winning, I'm hoping it progresses into maybe a storyline with Chris Jericho. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, it's been an entertaining storyline so far, and we'll see if they let it continue or if they move him on to something else. But chalk another one up for Fandango. We're going to jump on over to Chad Perry now. Chad, your thoughts on the match? Character, who you think is going to go over, all of that.
You know, really, for a match that's only had about, you know, a 2.5-3 week build, this match has been built very interesting, and it's made things interesting. The only thing that is a little frustrating is whenever Fandango is coming out, and, you know, if you're sitting at the live event and you see the stage getting set up, you know, as spectacular as an entrance, you're like, oh, you know it's coming. Fandango's entrance is great. I'm sure in the WrestleMania, with the New York, New Jersey skyline, it will also be phenomenal. Anyone who saw the preview of the set knows how great it looks. So it will be a great entrance to be had, and the match should be pretty good as well. I have not seen too much of Johnny Curtis's work, even down to NXT, outside of when he was on NXT on the TV, and that was a while ago. So I'm sure the man has improved, and working with Chris Jericho will definitely help elevate that even more. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to go against what everyone's saying. I'm going to go with Chris Jericho, Fandango getting his heat back right away.
There you go. So maybe a role reversal from the WrestleMania 19 match that Sue was talking about, where Fandango, you know, does surprise everybody in the ring. Jericho gives him some respect, and then, you know, even in victory and Fandango losing, and then he attacks him after the match. Something that could definitely see. So good call. Good call there by Chad Perry. Patrick O'Dowd, your thoughts as well, and, of course, your winner.
I want to go back to what Steve Cook said in regards to Jericho as far as that man can lose and lose and lose and lose and lose, and he doesn't lose anything from it, and it will most definitely elevate whoever he's competing against. This is, I think, a perfect marriage of two characters right now. even with the 2.5 week whatever build. And I do think that we're going to see Fandango go over, or Fandango or whatever, however the heck you want to say it, go over. And I think that it'll be a very good – I have a lot of faith in Fandango to put on a good match, and I really look forward to the people who have been chanting, "You can't wrestle," at this guy because they've never seen him wrestle. see their reaction to what I believe is a pretty darn good worker, and getting to go with a workhorse like Jericho. I think it could – I don't really think it could be a very good match. I think it could be a steal, a show stealer. And I actually think this may be I don't know if it'll be the opener, but I think it has a good opportunity to be the opener to warm people up as well.
I think Jericho's entrance would get a hell of a reaction as the opener and being the first guy out. I don't know. They obviously have a lot of faith in Fandango to put him in this match, to have his character have an in-ring debut outside of some random fighting at WrestleMania. But do you put him in the opener, and if something goes wrong and it's not a great match, you jeopardize kind of the crowd heat or the crowd feel? I don't know. But yeah, it's definitely one that I think qualifies for that as the opener. Any thought, then I'll just keep you on and ask you this, because I've heard this. There's some thought out there that the WWE could use this to get a bunch of other people on the card and maybe have Fandango refuse to wrestle yet again, causing Teddy Long, Booker T, Vicky, or somebody to come out and turn this into a lumberjack match.
Maybe. I don't know that it's necessarily a terrible idea. It fits in very well with the gimmick that they've run with it, with this whole, you keep dodging your match, you keep trying to get out of this, we're gonna ensure that you have to be in the ring. I think it could be a good way to, it's better than what they traditionally do with just throwing everybody who's left into a battle royal during the pre-show. So
yeah,
I think if that's the direction they go, I think that could be a very fun way to force his hand.
Yeah, and I'd be honest, I'd be really sad with an hour-long pre-show if they just did the pre-show battle royal anyway and just haven't told us about it yet. I would be very sad about that too. And I don't think they're gonna do the lumberjack match, but I heard, you know, I read that, and there's definitely some thought out there, and it would be a way to get some people on the card. I agree with what's been said before, especially by Sue and by Patrick. I think that Fandango is really going to surprise a lot of people who just simply don't know. And for all of you who are out there right now, and you just, and there are still people complaining about the Fandango character, even though a lot of people do seem to be coming around on it, there are some people that still don't like it. That is a hell of an entertaining character right there. It's what's one that.
No, with no entertainment, if it slaps you in the face.
So you should love the Fandango character, because Johnny Curtis is playing that thing perfectly. And the You Can't Wrestle chants, keep chanting them at the man, because it shows that he's doing his job right, because you haven't even seen him wrestle, and you're associating Won't Wrestle with Can't Wrestle. And there's a time where he was saying his own name, and they were chanting You Can't Wrestle, and he legit smiled like he knew he had the crowd in the palm of his hands. The match itself, I really think, is going to surprise some people. I think people are going to be shocked at how well he works. Jericho is the perfect opponent for him, because he's going to get crazy heat against the mega over Chris Jericho. And I do think that Fandango is going to win the match in the end, although if they could lead it, you know, stretch it out to Extreme Rules where he gets his win there. But I do think, despite this being WrestleMania where a lot of faces go over, it didn't fully happen last year. And I do think Fandango picks up the win in his in-ring debut, technically, or not technically, at WrestleMania 29. So moving along, we're going to go to I don't know if it's the first big match or how you would classify it, but a match that the card went through some changes to get to this one, although I think we all kind of expected it to happen when they had their first stare down a few weeks ago. And we will bring Steve Cook on to discuss the match between Mark Henry and Ryback. Steve, your thoughts on the match, and of course, who you think is going to walk away the winner.
I mean, this match is vintage WWE. It's the Ravager of Worlds, Mark Henry, the behemoth, the monster. Take on another monster, Big Hungry, the Big Leviathan, Ryback. And Ryback is a guy who has gotten over with the audience pretty darn good. You hear a lot of people out there chanting, feed him, feed me more, feed that man more. Feed Ryback more, indeed. And that's a guy who I think has the potential, if the chips fall the right way, to be a top babyface in this company for years ahead, I think. That he just has that kind of potential in me. He's got the look. He's got the intensity. He's got that charisma about him where if things fall the right way, he could be a guy that could draw some money for this company. And a good way to set him on that path would definitely be to have a big win here at WrestleMania over a big monster like Mark Henry. People that, I mean, people know this guy. I mean, that's what he do. He just squashes people. He's just a tough guy to get one over on. And it's not going to be a technical classic. It's not going to, JR might call it bowling shoe ugly, if you will. But at the end of the day, it's going to come down with Ryback lifting up Mark Henry, dropping him with that shell shock. And that's what the people will remember. They'll chant Feed Me More. And yeah, big Ryback getting the win.
What would happen, Steve, if Ryback lifts Mark Henry up, as I heard from a house show, and can't do it? It can't do the move. How bad would this be for him, for them, for everybody?
Well, you remember all that stuff I said a minute ago about Ryback possibly being the future top babyface of this company? You might be able to flush it down the toilet.
Yeah, I know.
It wouldn't be
that
good.
That would just be a disaster.
I'm sure they've rehearsed it once or twice.
I think they've rehearsed it. And to be honest with you, I can't imagine, even if Ryback were to lose the match, that people would boo the crap out of it if he doesn't even try. If he doesn't do it. At this point, you've got to do it, no matter the outcome. The shell shock on Mark Henry has to take place, and hopefully he does pull it off and pull it off well. Sue, give us your thoughts on the match between the two monsters and who you think's going to walk away.
Oh, man, this is a tough one because, I mean, ever since Mark Henry kind of came back, he's just been destroying people. And then also Ryback just being a monster himself. But I feel from the last Raw, definitely setting, a tone for this match, I feel that Ryback is kind of showing he's going to do whatever it takes to beat Mark Henry, even if that means throwing Santino from the top rope over into Mark Henry's arms. So sure. I'm going to go with Ryback.
There we go. So we got another selection for Ryback. Chad, what about you? Give us your thoughts on the match, and if you also think that Ryback's going to win.
I'll say right away, yeah, my pick is Ryback as well. And I think the build for this match has been very fun. I thought that the bench pressing competition last Friday on SmackDown was excellently done, old school fashion. And, I mean, this match, as long as they don't let it go too long, I mean, and it doesn't become Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg from WrestleMania 20, we should have a good match on our hands that for anyone who enjoys a big man powerhouse match, like this big man himself, they should be able to sit back and enjoy this match. People who don't like it, it's fine too. It's WrestleMania. There's something on here for everybody.
That's true. Any thoughts on the crowd reaction to Ryback in this match? Because it is the WrestleMania crowd, and we don't know. We haven't had him in front of that type of crowd before.
I think we're going to get a lot of Goldberg chants to start out. And I think that Ryback, it's going to be Ryback's job to slowly turn the fans in, especially when and if he can hit that shell shock. So they go, and it'll turn things around for Ryback and get him on a good direction for sure.
Yeah, if he hits that shell shock, you can't help but react no matter how snarky of a fan you are out there in the crowd. So I agree with you on that one. And I agree with you about the Goldberg chance. I think it could be the loudest Goldberg chance we've heard since Goldberg wrestled at the Georgia Dome and won the WCW World Championship. So we will see about that. But yet another pick, of course, for Ryback in this one. The wrestling realist Patrick O'Dowd, share your thoughts with us.
I think that I also am picking Ryback, and I think it serves a couple purposes, this match. I think one, it is to give us that classic big guy match, and I'm not going to lie, when they do something where they both bounce off the ropes and neither one of them move, that's always kind of a fun little moment that I love in those classic sort of matches. But I also see this as an opportunity to sort of get Ryback back on the winning track. He's been having his problems with the Shield, and the Shield's kind of gotten the best of him in multiple encounters. And not that it's taken away from, the power of him, it has all killed a little bit of his momentum as a competitor, I believe. And so this win over a big-time, heavy, super heavyweight like Mark Henry, a guy who, again, has done a lot of good and has been just tearing a hole through the roster, puts Ryback back into a positive momentum position after this is over. I think he is going to hit the shell shock. I think it's gonna be it's not gonna be pretty. I think it's a match that will still, you know, be well received just by the show force that the two guys are gonna be able to do.
Excellent. So another pick for Ryback, which is not surprising, but he does seem to be on his way to a sweep in this one, at least on the prediction side of things. Tony, what do you think about the match, and of course, who you think is gonna win?
I wish Critchell was here.
I know.
He would be the only one to say Mark Henry, I'm sure. Yeah, Ryback's going to take this one. I think his character needs it more than Mark Henry does. I've really enjoyed the build to this. I think you and I were one of the first ones to say that, you know, everybody was getting swerved when everyone got all pissed off that it wasn't going to happen. And I'm glad that it went back the way we said, because not only does it make us look like we were right, which we were, but it's just, it's the match that people want to see. Sometimes the easiest answer is the right one. And in this case, two big-ass motherfuckers going head-to-head is exactly what wrestling fans want.
Yeah, sometimes predictability is okay. And this is one of those times where predictability is A-okay. It's funny, too, because you mentioned if you know, Critchell were on the show today, he'd be going off right now. He'd be picking Mark Henry just because he has to. He would get absolutely pissed about my next statement. I don't think Mark Henry is the same Mark Henry since he's come back, Tony. And I don't know if – now, it's not saying he's not good – but it just doesn't seem to be the same Mark Henry to me. And that's just a testament to how good Mark Henry was before. I don't know. Am I way off base in thinking that about Mark Henry?
No, I think they've kept him at bay. They haven't given him the same push that he's had. The only reason why he's smashing people right now is because they needed to build him up. His return was lackluster, you know. So it's not the same dude because they're not allowing him to be the same dude. Otherwise, he'd be going after the big belt, not Ryback.
True. Okay, so – that makes sense. What you're basically saying is that it's not about Mark Henry himself, but the push that he's been given. I can definitely agree with that. I am going to make it a clean sweep for Ryback. I just can't imagine him losing this match. He is currently positioned to where he could be, if they wanted him to be, a top-level babyface for the company, which they may need after this year's WrestleMania goes down. And a victory over Mark Henry would give him that momentum that he needs. It would also give him the WrestleMania moment if he could literally get Mark Henry up, march like he does with even, which he's done even with three opponents before, which those three opponents, you know, total what he has in Mark Henry. So hopefully they can pull that move off and pull it off in a spectacular way, because I would hate for him to botch that move, have to come up with something else and pin him after some kind of lame splash or something like that. Because I do think that Ryback's going to pick up the win, and I do think that that's going to be his first big moment here at in WrestleMania. Probably the first of many for the big man in Ryback. We'll see. So, one more match before we go to our open forum question, which is going to be fun because it's literally going to be a free-for-all for all of our analysts to talk. But that match is the WWE Tag Team Championship as Team Hell No steps into the ring, Daniel Bryan and Kane. Probably, in my opinion, going to be escorted to the ring by Caitlin as they take on Dolph Ziggler and Big E Langston, who we all know will definitely be accompanied to the ring by AJ. And if not, then Tony's going to be quite the upset individual. So same order for this one because I got lazy and forgot to change the order up. Steve Cook, we'll start with you. Thoughts on the match and, of course, who you think is going to walk away with the tag team titles?
This is the first match I've really been going back and forth on where I'm not really sure who's going to come out on top here. You can't really get wrong with Team Hell No. Daniel Bryan and Kane, always a fun time. You got to figure Caitlin and AJ will be involved. I mean, Dolph Ziggler, Big E. I keep going back and forth on whether I think Dolph will cash in or not. You know, that whole role title thing he's got going on. I'm not sure what they're going to do with that. They do it tonight at WrestleMania or if they do it later on. But if they're going to wait a little bit on that, I figure the best thing to do, I mean, since Team Hell No really has no competition outside of Dolph and Big E, I mean, you got teams like the Road Scholars and the Primetime Players, but they're not really competition because they always lose to them. I figure give Dolph and Big E the titles, hang on there for them for a while, have AJ get one over on Caitlin, and, you know, it's AJ's homecoming. You know, I mean, I know Tony knows, she's a New Jersey girl. Come on now. Homecoming for AJ. Her boys get the titles. Life's good.
Yep, yeah, definitely is a homecoming for AJ. It's going to be fun to see that crowd reaction too, Steve, because I think she's going to get quite the reaction. Because
if she wasn't in Jersey with that crowd, I mean, you know, WrestleMania crowd, kind of internet-y. We love AJ on the internet, don't we?
Yep, and you got to think because of what happened last year with Daniel Bryan and AJ. Imagine the Yes chants will be back in full force like we haven't heard in quite a long time at this WrestleMania as well. And so I think we'll hear some of that. And I'm interested to see how they react to it because I think they're going to be deafening when this match begins with the Yes chants. So just my opinion, but we'll definitely see about that. So we've got a title change predicted by Steve Cook. Sue Young, what do you think about the match and, of course, who you think is going to win?
I think the match is going to be very entertaining, and I feel like it's definitely going to be a win for Team Hell No, actually, because I think that, you know, with the way things are going, I think Dolph Ziggler is actually going to be cashing in on something more important, because this was kind of led up by AJ accepting the match, not him. So maybe this might turn into AJ getting a little crazier. I don't know. We'll see. But I feel that Team Hell No is going to be definitely retaining the Tag Team Championship.
There we go. So we're retained for Team Hell No. And then keeping an answer to a later question about Dolph Ziggler cashing in, which wouldn't surprise me one bit either. Chad Perry, we'll go to you. Thoughts on the match, who you think is going to win, and then no predictions on the cash-in just yet, but we will definitely get there.
I think this is going to be your opener for the night. The tag titles, Daniel Bryan, you know, 2 years ago got stuck with the pre-show. In the last few years, he's been responsible for getting the crowd hot. Just a good responsibility. I don't know how hot the crowd got last year in a positive way. this match will definitely go longer than that, though. And I'm really anxious to see Big E wrestle because I have not seen him in NXT. So it's going to be totally fresh to me here. And really seeing him lock up with Kane is something I'm looking forward to. The titles, it's hard to say because of what we're going to talk about later with Dolph Ziggler and the briefcase and what's going to happen here. There's really no challengers left for Daniel Bryan and Kane. Primetime players have been beaten with Daniel Bryan and Kane wearing blindfolds, having their hands tied, and there's really nowhere else to go. But for some reason, I still can't take the belts off of them. So I'm going to go Daniel Bryan and Kane.
There we go. So Team Hell No to retain. Another pick for them. And the briefcase does definitely play a big part into that. And we'll see if we're all being fooled by that briefcase or if it's a legit concern for later on in the show. Patrick O'Dowd.
Yeah, you can add me onto the list of people who think that Team Hell No is going to retain. The people keep talking about the tag belts and really what they mean. They don't mean anything anyway, to really be honest right now. And I'm a huge tag team wrestling fan.
Yes.
But, like, whoever beats them is not going – honestly is not – I don't think is going to be regarded as in the same stature as Team Hell No anyway, unless they decide to keep Rhodes and Sandow together and have them come out and beat them, which I would absolutely be okay with. I also agree the briefcase plays a huge role. I think that a lot of us are heading in the same direction as to what we think may happen with that. And so I don't see that resulting in a victory then for Ziggler and Big E. I also don't know, you know, if the WWE is going to have how many people are going to have their debut match at WrestleMania and still go over. I think Big E is going to look fairly, I think they're going to do what they can to make Big E look special. But I don't think they get the win.
Yeah, it's a great team for him to debut against because he can toss Daniel Bryan around so easily, and then he can go toe-to-toe with Kane, the completely opposite kind of opponent for him. And so he really has two experienced, great workers to go up against in his on-screen debut there and hit more than just his finisher. So it'll be interesting to see there. And then I think he'll impress as well. I think we could have two impressive debuts at WrestleMania for Fandango and Big E Langston. Kind of unprecedented that we have two regular roster members actually making their big in-ring debut. Tony Acero, what about you? Your thoughts on the match? Who you think is going to go over?
Oh, this is the match that I'm most looking forward to, and it has nothing to do with the four men.
really?
Yeah, no. Team Hell No is going to be going over, is what I feel. I think that, although, I just want to say, you know, to the many people that were upset at the fact that you and I predicted once again that the tag team division was going to be non-existent.
I know.
Come WrestleMania, here we are. Proof. And yeah, it's a shame, but still, I think Kane and Daniel Bryan are going to continue on with their reign. They'll probably lose it next month, but this match is going to be solid. I really do think it's going to be great. And it's also a good way to debut Big E, because if he does suck, one tag and Dolph will handle it. So
exactly.
It's a good way to showcase him. He's been a powerhouse. I've seen his NXT matches, and they're not much different than any other squash he's seen, just because of what they try to do with him. But just looking at his agility and how young he is, I think he may be able to do a few things that we haven't seen yet.
Oh, Team Hell knows he'll win. Yeah, it's funny, you know, we were the ones that were saying this tag division is going to dissolve so quick, and we did not have any faith in them. And obviously, I mean, tag team division.
Anybody got time for that?
Which is sad. I know, like, those guys should be on the card. They should actually be wrestling Team Hell No, but we don't get to build the card. So, and I am with everyone else. I do think that Team Hell No is going to win this match. There's so many things that could happen later on the card, which we will get to here in a little bit. The biggest thing that I could see happening that I kind of haven't really talked about, I've mentioned it on the air before, is Dolph Ziggler walking out on this match. At some point, he starts taking a beating, decides to take a break from the match and walk his way to the back, of course saving himself for a possible cash in later, which could leave Big E on his own, or maybe he leaves too. Who knows? It's just a thought. I don't know if it'll end by count out or Ziggler staying there for the whole match and then making the cash in a bigger surprise, but it could be an interesting part of the story that they tell. But given that, regardless of how it happens, I do see Team Hell No retaining and then hopefully maybe moving into something. Even if it's another feud with Team Road Scholars, I'd be fine with that, because those guys definitely have the ability to hold their own in the tag team division. So we've gotten through half the card. And by the way, Tony Acero, I mean, how could I forget? I mean,
nobody really knows this, but
Tony Acero,
the softest lip. And sometimes at night we spoon.
My apologies, Tony, for not playing that earlier.
Okay. That's okay.
So, we're going to go to our first open forum question, and I'm going to take a risk and do something that some hosts would say stupid, and open up all six lines. We'll have everybody live on the air at the same time. That's why you hear all that shuffling in the background right now. Open forum question. I will have somebody. I'll get us started ourselves, and that is the biggest omission from the card. And in my opinion, despite how talented some other guys are, to me, that is Antonio Cesaro. Is the biggest omission from the card. Not because he's a United States champion, because we've seen how they treated that belt in the past, but because of the fact that he's so damn good, and he really deserves this grand of a stage to ply his craft on. So I don't know who wants to jump in. I'm not even going to call on anybody, but thoughts on the biggest omission from this year's WrestleMania. The floor is a collective yours.
Oh, we're all so humble.
I think you're right. Greg, I think you're right. I think it's Cesaro. And I know the excuse I've heard in some corners is, well, he's going to have a feud with Sin Cara, and that's how he's going to get on WrestleMania. To me, that's not an excuse. That's not an excuse.
He's got plenty of people lying around you could pair him up with. Guys like Kofi Kingston could very have easily and legitimately been paired with Cesaro. And you've got an hour-long pre-show. At least put the man on the pre-show.
Well, you know. Can't do that. Crazy.
I'm gonna go with AJ wrestling. I know that's not too much of a surprise, but it sucks, because when's the last time she's had a legitimate match? I mean, every match she has, she's thrown around like a rag doll for 2 minutes, and then she gets the win miraculously with a roll up or something else. I really want to see the girl go, and I think at her little hometown, it would have been an awesome way to, whether lose or win, it would have been awesome just to see her in a match that was longer than 3 minutes. Also, more AJ makes my boner happy. So. I mean,
well, and Tony, just to follow up on, I mean, I know you have this love for AJ. It's just the women's title not being defended in general. I think Greg stole most of our thunder by bringing up Cesaro first. But the other half of that is that you've got Caitlin, who's been the champ for a little bit of time now, and the general consensus that I hear from a lot of people is that she really hasn't been given the opportunity to build a lot of steam with this title reign, and then you don't put her on where does the opportunity happen for her to build any sort of momentum or have that chance at WrestleMania. It seems like they've sort of started and stopped with her on multiple occasions. And again, sometimes you've got to let somebody, like, you got to give them the chance to sink or swim. And I don't even think she's getting the chance to show what she can do.
Yeah, and it's funny that you bring up the Divas title not being defended. In my head, I've been able to make it back to at least 25. I don't know if the Divas title was defended on 25, but it wasn't defended on any of the cards after 25. So it's been a really long time since that championship has been defended. I don't know if anybody remembers off the top of their head. I'd be shocked if we did. But it is kind of a shame. But, yeah, I can't remember the last time that thing was defended at WrestleMania, which is kind of a shame. I mean, Sue, here you are, a woman in wrestling and formerly with the company, and this was, you know, a big goal of yours was to see this and do this, and it hasn't been defended on the card, and we don't even know how long.
I think that if they had a little bit more of a solid division within the Divas, that it would probably be, you know, defended more. And I'm not saying that it's a weak division, but it is a lot weaker than it has been within, you know, the past couple of years. But I also want to, like, I do want to bring up, like, these past couple of years, they've always had, like, a celebrity in the ring with somebody. And the two top celebrities, as we'd like to say they are Brock Lesnar and The Rock. And I'm really shocked that they did not bring in, like, another celebrity such as Maria to do another, you know, match with the girls.
Yeah, because she surprised a lot of people last year.
They just don't care. I mean, it's the WWE, and I know you don't want to say it too, but I'll say it. They don't have a good roster. They have, and it's not the roster's fault. Similar to what Patrick said, if you guys don't get no practice, whether it's in front of a live audience or by yourselves, then you're not going to get any better. Caitlin could be something right now, but she doesn't have the opportunity to be that. AJ can wrestle, but nobody's ever seen it. Some of the girls on NXT that nobody knows their names can go, but nobody sees it. And it's because there's a complete lack of care. It's not faith, it's just a lack of care in that particular division. You've seen who they're looking for replacements. I don't see any hope for it. I mean, I guess we're just going to have to watch your matches if we want Divas, you know, wrestling.
Aw.
There you go.
Way to work out.
I know.
Didn't see that coming.
By the way, I have the softest lips.
I don't know if you've heard, but no one knows that. No, nobody knows that at all. By the way, I did the research. The last time the Divas Championship or any women's championship was defended at WrestleMania, WrestleMania 23, when Melina beat Ashley in a Lumberjill match.
Oh, wow.
The last time that thing was defended. WrestleMania 22, of course, is the memorable Trish Stratus versus Mickie James match. I think the drop-off from 1 year to the next.
That's the last
we went
that mattered.
Yeah, that's less exactly. That's the
Melina
sad
was
to say.
The greatest women's match of all time with Alicia Fox, so calm down.
That's true. Hey, she's on the card, Tony.
Let's forget
that she's on. The first person eliminated from Tough Enough is on the WrestleMania card.
That was one of the – I saw that on a meme today on, like, Facebook that popped up. Somebody had that.
Yeah, I shared it. I didn't make it. Someone else made it. But I shared it, and it was sad to share because it is unfortunately true and just not too happy about it because it kind of stinks. But I really wish that they were not stinks that she's on the card, but not that we just don't get the Divas Championship match because I would be happy to see that. And I actually think it's based on our discussion here, it is kind of neck and neck in terms of the most overlooked thing with Antonio Cesaro because while that was the obvious answer, we definitely got a lot more mileage out of the Divas Championship not being defended on the card, even though we have a better chance of seeing Flynn at WrestleMania than seeing Antonio Cesaro, although I do hope he gets to make some kind of an appearance. We're going to go back to the card now, and then that open forum actually went better than I expected, so I'm happy about that. And now we go into a match that I'm very excited about, and one that I think really kind of sets this WrestleMania apart from what we've seen over the past few years, and we'll start with you, Sue Young, and that is as Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, and of course Roman Reigns, The Shield, who have taken the WWE by storm since the Survivor Series, will go against another WWE super team in Sheamus, Randy Orton, and The Big Show. Sue, your thoughts on The Shield, the match, and of course make your pick.
I love the Shield. I love watching, you know, because, I mean, I was in developmental with these three guys, so it was awesome seeing these guys on TV, just like Big E, just like a bunch of the other people. And from the last pay-per-view to the build-up on TV and then till now, I feel like they're obviously going to have Sheamus, Randy Orton, and The Big Show win, but I feel like the Shield is going to come out strong somehow, or maybe... I don't know. It's a really big toss-up to me because at the same time, I'm like, oh, well, the Shield is going to win because it doesn't make any sense. Why would they do this? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a big toss-up, but if I really had to go with one, I'd go with the Super Team, Sheamus, Randy Orton, and The Big Show.
You're right. It is one of the hardest ones to predict, and I'll give everybody a sneak preview. Sue almost stole my thunder on the bonus question that we're going to ask her later, but I'll hang out for that one. So Patrick O'Dowd, we know how you feel about the Shield. We spent plenty of time talking about them on the program over the past several months. What do you think about this one and their chances of walking away with a win?
See, and I've been saying for weeks and months that WrestleMania was going to be their big like comeuppance mm-hmm. match where they were going to go down, and now my confidence is wavering. And it's really wavering, and I don't know if it's because there's a couple of elements in play here that I've always talked about that I'm afraid are going to happen that are going to prove me wrong. One, the Shield has just remained hot. Like they just have remained hot, even though they're no longer impacting like the world title situation. Mm-hmm. They've really done a hell of a job. And I've been predicting a Randy Orton heel turn for what, like a year now? And so this is the point where I'm going to give up on the Orton heel turn. And so guess what's going to happen? The WWE is going to turn that asshole heel, and I'm going to be wrong on this one. But I'm going to stick to my guns. I'm going to stick to my guns and say that the Shield is going to lose. And I'm actually going to use a bit of your wisdom. What?
Okay. The Shield's going to lose, you're saying.
The Shield's going to lose. Sheamus, the Super Team's going to go over. And I'm going to use a little bit of Greg DeMarco wisdom because you've said this many times on this program that it's not about what you do after you win, but it's how they move you forward with a loss. And this team has not faced a real setback yet, and I think it's time.
Yep, you're exactly right, Patrick Goodell, by the way. Only because you said it. That's just because you know me in sound bites. So I do agree with some of those points there, but I will hold off on, of course, revealing my selection. Tony, your thoughts on the Shield, their role in this match, and whether or not they can beat the latest incarnation of the Super Team.
This is quite possibly the best built match on the card. I'd like to thank TNA because without them, the WWE would not have the mentality of anything you can do, I can do better. And for once, they're doing better. Yeah,
oh, yeah.
I think the Shield's gonna continue to win. I think I'm cool with an Orton heel turn. I think he's completely uninteresting right now. I think he comes off as cheesy. But also, we've got the combustibility of the team, the fact that you know they're stressing how well they get along right now, and I think it's not going to be solely Orton's fault that they lose. I think it'll be a variety of things. All three of them just not getting along, causing for the Shield to win. And whatever they do after that is what I'm more interested in seeing. I don't know what they're going to do, so I'm curious. But, yeah, an official result for me would be the Shield winning.
Yep, yeah, and you know, the Big Show is still not fully a face either, so it's not like he's fully turned face in this whole thing. So, you know, it's definitely going to be that dynamic between the team. Could definitely get played up in there, and we'll see what happens in that one moving forward. Chad, I know we've had a chance to talk about the Shield on the air as well. Your thoughts on the match and who you think is going to pick up the win?
I think that the big thing in here for me is the Randy Orton possible heel turn. And, you know, I'm like Patrick, I've been calling it for a year now. But if there's ever a time to do it, it's right now. Because after WrestleMania, no matter if you count Big Show as a face or a heel, they're very low on main event heels. And that's going to be with guys taking time off, guys probably being forced to take time off. And, I mean, it basically is the Shield collectively as a unit is like number three heels in the company, I think, just off the top of my head. So, I mean, and the Shield are not going to compete for the world title or the WWE title. So therefore, somebody has to turn heel, and it has to be somebody from that 2002 WWE rookie class, which is either Randy Orton or the man in the main event. So it seems like Orton's going to have to be that one, unfortunately. It'd be great to see them both turn heel, honestly, but that probably won't happen. So I'm going to go with the Shield picking up the win, and I think that following month we'll see them get their comeuppance, because Ryback really should be the one to get the blow-off win with them, and that'll come next month.
And you bring up a good point. I mean, it should – the appropriate thing and the way they've built it since going back to, you know, way back when, you know, since Survivor Series and beyond, is that Ryback is the one who takes down the Shield and beats them. And I'm not 100% sure that's going to happen, but I don't know if that factors in the result here. So another win for the Shield. So, Steve Cook, you get to break the tie as we've got one, you know, two picks for both teams. And, of course, give us your thoughts on the Shield, because we haven't had a chance to hear your thoughts on the Shield on the air, at least on our program.
Well, I mean, everybody says, I mean, the Shield is one of the most popular units among internet fans for sure. And can't say enough about Dean Ambrose, his charisma. Seth Rollins has been a pleasant surprise to me as far as charisma goes in WWE so far. Roman Reigns, he's a guy who just has a look about him like he's going to be a big star. So, got nothing but good things to say about those guys. And, Greg, I don't know if you noticed this or not. A couple weeks ago, the Shield was out there having a match with, like, Santino and Zack Ryder and somebody like that. But during their match, somebody sent out a tweet on their little Twitter account. And people kind of noticed that. And it seemed, I don't know if it means anything or not. It might not. It might mean nothing. Or it means that there's somebody in cahoots with the Shield.
It could be interesting to see. The Shield, actually, I tweeted about the Shield, and I got retweeted by the Shield, or actually quote-tweeted, even better. So
maybe you know this person.
No, I doubt it. My tweet was about how they film their matches, because they film them so uniquely to make it look like just a chaotic scene. And so, yeah, that would be a WrestleMania moment if we revealed somebody in cahoots with the Shield or somebody behind the Shield, which I saw someone earlier today on Twitter say that they really hoped that Randy Orton turned heel and revealed himself as the leader of the Shield. And I responded quite negatively to that, because I hate to see that, because I'd be okay with somebody in cahoots with them. I don't want them to have a leader. The way they've been built so far to not have a leader,
right,
I would prefer to see. But it's WWE storytelling to give them a leader. I don't know.
And I'm not sure that this person in cahoots with them is even in this match, per se. It might not be Sheamus or Randy Orton or the Big Show. But, by the way, Big Show, you probably know this. You might not know it. Went to college at Wichita State. Played basketball there. They're in the Final Four this weekend, and sadly for the Shockers and Wichita State fans, they're going to lose on Saturday. Big Show's going to lose on Sunday. Bam.
There you go. So the Shield is your selection.
I believe in the Shield, Greg DeMarco. I believe in the Shield.
Well done, Steve Cook. Well done. I have to say that was very good. For me, this is, and Patrick O'Dowd said it, and he's exactly right, and I've been saying it before, the biggest telltale sign about the Shield and what they're going to do with them is what they do when they lose. We've seen them follow up a win, but if they lose a match and just go completely batshit crazy, attacking people, going nuts, The Rock to WrestleMania is what it is. It's a showcase. It's very different, and it would be the perfect opportunity for the Shield to do some crazy attacking on some veterans, on The Rock, on The Undertaker. You just never know. The Shield could really make an impact following up on a loss. I had a thought the other day, and I don't know if it would happen, and it probably wouldn't happen, but they're going to get a hell of a reaction at WrestleMania because of the crowd that's there. And you know, Dean Ambrose being on the indies as Jon Moxley, and Seth Rollins being on, you know, Ring of Honor World Champion as Tyler Black. They're going to get an amazing reception as they're walking through that crowd. I'll bring Patrick O'Dowd on the air just for the hell of it. Patrick O'Dowd, what if the Shield uses this and turns face?
Oh.
Yeah, I know it's out of left field.
Here's the thing is, you know, I think that it depends on how that face, like if it's them becoming, I don't think they would become like altruistic do-gooders out of court turning. But I mean, unless you're John Cena, but he's a bully, be a star. It's I think that it can still work. I think that right now I like where they are. So for me, it wouldn't necessarily be on my playlist, as you like to put it. I think it's pretty easy to work. I think that, you know, their whole shtick has been fighting injustice. Like they talk about, like, it's all about the injustice within the WWE. I think that it's very easy for them to then turn their attentions to heels. And the argument for injustice is a lot clearer for fans to see and follow. I think it would be a little soon and it'd be a tough sell to do right away. It does happen. I mean, Daniel Bryan, not necessarily face, but like the indie or the smart crowd really did work that in a way that bolstered his career to stratospheric levels for a while before he came back down.
Well, and the injustice angle of it, if Orton were to turn heel and they end up, you know, they'd be pissed
about
that.
You got a ready-made feud.
Exactly, you got a ready-made feud, and now they're saying that it was an injustice that Orton turned heel and what he did in their match. I'm just saying, it's just one of those things, I'm going very ESPN on this, where I say, I wouldn't be surprised if such and such happened. I'm not predicting it, but, you know, don't be surprised if one of those things. I know, exactly. So, officially, I do think it's appropriate that Ryback is the one to beat the Shield. However, in the showcase of the Immortals, and because I think that they're going to wait on the Randy Orton heel turn, it's not going to happen at WrestleMania. It could happen on Raw. I'm not 100% sure. And honestly, the Shield losing for the first time could happen on Raw as well. I actually think that the faces are going to win this match, and I'm going to go with the super team of Sheamus, Randy Orton, and the Big Show to win the match, probably convincing myself through what I've said about how important it is on what they do to follow up a loss. But, you know, I threw some crazy ideas out there about a face turn. I don't know if it'll happen, but it's just something that came to me the other day, and I thought, you know, it was just one of those what-if situations. So keep that one in the back of our head. So, and Patrick O'Dowd, I should have just left you on the air as we transition into our next match, which is, of course, the World Heavyweight Championship, the match that everyone is talking about 6 weeks ago. And not really talking about at all now. And that is, of course, Alberto Del Rio defending that World Heavyweight Championship against Jack Swagger. Patrick O'Dowd, your thoughts on the match and, of course, picking a winner?
Well, damn it, Drunk Swagger. That's been my thought about the match ever since his infamous DUI. Because I think that changed the course of the result of this match. I think I had kind of pegged Swagger to win when the feud got introduced. And I actually loved the idea of the feud, and I still am mad that they didn't deport poor Ricardo Rodriguez, because I think while it would, you know, they made news with the way they were going. If they had him deported, you want to talk about headlines? Maybe there would have been headlines in the wrong way. I thought it would have been brilliant.
No,
they didn't.
There's never had. Not only that, but it would have set itself up for him to return at WrestleMania.
Exactly. That being said, Jack Swagger then decided to get drunk and drive. And while, you know, we had this, you know, what was going to be a significant feud built up, I think Swagger's going to lose, because I think we're going to lose Swagger for a period of time. I think he's going to get de-pushed after Mania is over. And so I think Alberto Del Rio wins, but not because that's what I think was originally going to happen.
There you go. So the first pick there goes to Alberto Del Rio. Tony Acero, your thoughts on the match, and of course, who you think is going to pick up the win?
And the Harlem Shake lasted longer than the excitement for this match.
It did.
I would have loved if Ricardo got deported. I don't. This shit was hilarious. you know, I haven't been offended at all. I've just been bored by this entire thing. I remember my biggest argument for the thing was the fact that it started off so well. It started off with a grand scope of, you know, bigotry and political angst, and it came off really, I don't know, fresh, I guess you could say, especially considering the day and time of Facebook where everybody has a political opinion. It just really looked strong.
Well, you even, in your own words, in your own writing, you called it art.
Yeah, it was great. It was higher than I've seen them do before. It wasn't on the nose. It wasn't in your face. It was kind of like a dude that you're like, ah, fuck, another one, you know? but in such a way where you're supposed to be upset with them. You're supposed to be mad. They're heels. I mean, it was perfect. And then the very next week, they just ruined it. And then so on and so forth. And now we are where we're at. Which, you know, the end result is that I do not think Jack Swagger is going to win. And if he does win, that reign will be extremely short. And I'm talking by the end of the show short.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we'll talk more about that. But, yeah, basically, I think that Del Rio is going to win. And this match will be considered non-important.
Yeah, probably so. I can't disagree with you there. Perry, what about you? Your thoughts on the match? And you've had a chance to talk with us about the build. But who you think is going to pick up the win?
Plain and simple, in my opinion, this match shouldn't be happening. Swagger should be suspended right now. I mean, Jeff Hardy got suspended from the WrestleMania build after being announced for a match 3 or 4 years ago. So, I mean, if we're calling a spade, they're showing nothing here as far as enforcement goes, as far as their drug policy. Swagger is probably going to get handed suspension after WrestleMania. So there's really no point in putting the belt on him. I think it's stupid to put the belt on him just to even have Ziggler cash in, because that sets up a feud between Ziggler and Swagger, and that puts them nowhere, really. The feud has to be between Del Rio and Ziggler going forward. So I'm going to go with Del Rio retaining. And yeah, I'm just disappointed in WWE, who wants to preach about their drug policy, but yet has one of their stars picked up or something like that, and just let them continue like nothing happened.
Yeah, it is. You're exactly right. I think it's warranted criticism, and I think that you're definitely right in saying that. And you know, I don't think anybody can disagree. Jeff Hardy was in a Money in the Bank ladder match that he was eliminated from, and they just kind of pretended like he wasn't there and left it a 7-person match. Where Jack Swagger is in their world title match that they really wanted to put a lot behind. And so they chose, and it was their choice, to not make the change when, you know, hell, give Alberto or give Antonio Cesaro the shot. That was my thinking. Obviously, they don't share that. Steve Cook, what are your thoughts?
I agree with Chad a whole lot on what he just said about how, frankly, Swagger probably shouldn't be in the situation considering the trouble he got himself into, but we're past that, I guess. And another problem I kind of have here is I like to start with the build with Swagger. I like Zeb Coulter. I mean, that guy is a good talker and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But let's be honest, folks. These characters, I mean, if you compare them to the people they're kind of parroting, they're a pale imitation. I mean, they're like moderates pretty much, you know? I mean, they say a little stuff about, oh, well, we don't like, you know, immigrants and stuff like that. They don't go that far with it because they don't want to offend anybody, you know. They don't want to piss anybody off. So they just kind of have to pussyfoot around it and say, well, you know, he'll say something about those people like once in a blue moon. But, you know, just good old boys Swagger and Coulter. And it kind of didn't
help
that they were
Remember, they're characters and they're all friends.
Yeah, that didn't hurt. That didn't help, too. And it also didn't help that they kind of started this off, like, down south, you know, where a lot of people probably go into the shows like, hey, you know, I kind of smell he's cooking, you know. I dig it. So it just didn't, it kind of fell apart from the beginning.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
But we got Zeb Coulter out of it, and we got Jack Swagger's new awesome theme song, which I love. So we got those two things out of it, but... yeah, Del Rio's going to win, and I feel sorry for poor Ricardo Rodriguez, and I kind of wish they had deported him simply because they're trying to murder a guy to get Alberto over.
I know.
I feel bad
I know
for him.
Guy. And he is a trained wrestler and all, but yeah, and again, I just had he been deported, imagine the pop he would get returning at WrestleMania. Especially if he ran out during the match, it would just be absolutely insane in a moment that we're just not going to get, unfortunately. So, Sue... your thoughts, and of course, your thought, the Jack Swagger situation, you probably have a better perspective on it than any of us could have, because you've been on that other side that none of us can ever say that we've been on the other side of.
You know, I like to, in a way, I'd like to think WWE is kind of like a prison, and prison changes you, man. Like, I'm not joking. Things that you'd never think you would do sometimes happens, and it's an unfortunate thing that happened to Jack Swagger. I mean, I'm not saying like it's a prison as in like it's a, you know, something scary or anything, because a lot of people want to be there. I don't want to be there, you know, but there's something about it. I don't know if it's something in the water, but something does changes where you don't sometimes think clearly with your head. And, you know, it's an unfortunate event that happened to Jack Swagger. And I kind of wish that things went a little better within this whole, you know, awesome storyline that I really enjoyed. Like, it, personally, I enjoyed the storyline. I love seeing Alberto Del Rio as an awesome babyface. He definitely brings back that Latino heat that I loved so much growing up as a kid. And we got Zeb Coulter out of it. And I don't even know what to say about Zeb Coulter other than he is phenomenal. I enjoy watching him on TV, and I feel like he definitely saved Jack Swagger within mm-hmm. this whole situation. And if I had to put my money on somebody, it'd definitely be Alberto Del Rio because, I mean, you know, you got to have someone who's professional carrying the title and someone who's going to be able to mentally, physically, and not only that, but, you know, just be on point, be on game. Alberto Del Rio has definitely impressed me within all rounds, and it's going to be a good match.
Yep, and it's you know, you talk about people make decisions, Jack Swagger, especially at this stage in his career, you're being presented as something larger than life, and I think some people take that seriously and kind of buy into that, Sue, and kind of think that they are larger than life, and then they make a decision and something mm-hmm. that brings them back down to reality a little bit. So, and it seems like it's what happened to Jack Swagger. Having been on that other side, at least in some capacity, do you think he's going to still pay the consequences after WrestleMania?
Yeah, there's DUIs within WWE are taken very, very seriously. Even though you may not see it right now, it will definitely haunt him. Because, I mean, if you look through the past, you know, everybody who has had a DUI or of such have gotten pretty bad consequences. Like, you may not see it now, but it might come up later. And it's that's just how it is.
Yep, no, I definitely agree with you on that one, and we'll see. We'll see what happens there. As far as the match goes, for me, I turned around on it late, and because of the work of Zeb Coulter, and he's been so amazing, and it's been so great that a whole new generation of wrestling fans is getting to see Dutch Mantel in this capacity and what he can do, and he has in a lot of ways saved Jack Swagger, and it's unfortunate what happened. I don't know if the Swagger DUI derailed this feud or their fear about backlash derailed the feud, and I'm not talking about a pay-per-view. That said, I do, regardless of what could happen after the match, because of the DUI, I do think Alberto Del Rio is winning this match and having his hand raised in victory as the World Heavyweight Champion, unless what we're predicting, that a lot of people probably will predict is going to happen, happens during the match, which would be a first, but one that wouldn't really shock me and would be a way and a hell of a pop from the crowd. So I'm going to go officially with Alberto Del Rio. I'm going to open the lines up for our entire panel once again and open it to the open discussion about the topic that I feel like isn't getting enough play heading into WrestleMania, but I think they're probably doing that. If they're going to do it, then they're not playing it up to make it a surprise. If they're not going to do it, they're not playing it up to hope that we don't get mad they don't do it. And that is, of course, whether or not Dolph Ziggler cashes in his Money in the Bank briefcase. And does he cash in? Does he win? Should he cash in? The floor is yours, but to get things started off right, Steve, we'll start with you. Do you think he'll cash it in? Should he cash it in? Will he win? What do you think? And then Steve's the only person I'm calling on. Everyone else can just chime in.
Well, I picked Dolph Ziggler and Big E to win the tag team titles earlier in the show. So, But that doesn't change my feeling that Dolph Ziggler absolutely should cash in. I mean, why wouldn't you cash in on the biggest stage of them all at WrestleMania? Surprised nobody's tried to do it so far. You become the World Heavyweight Champion, and then you add the tag team titles to your collection. You got two belts. I mean, that's pretty strong in my book, whether the tag team title's meaningless or whatever. But give the guy a bunch of gold. He's got Big E with him. Got little AJ with him. I mean, I think it's a good time for Dolph Ziggler. I mean, if you want Dolph Ziggler to be a top star in the company, that seems like a perfectly good idea to me.
Yeah.
So there you go. What do you guys think?
I think my opinion is more of a deep yearning rather than a prediction. I think if you're going to do it big. And the Dolph Ziggler character, it just makes sense that he would want to do it at WrestleMania. It's a, you know, it's a show-off. I mean, it's written. It's there. There's no way they can fuck this up unless he loses. So I would love for it to happen. I would love for the kid who was a cheerleader getting shat on to, you know, be on the biggest stage of them all winning a belt. And I think in his eyes, you know, it would be one of those moments where he was trying to stifle back a tear And that would be an amazing WrestleMania moment, personally.
And it could, you know, it's just crazy as it sounds, and I know I guess I'm tossing this term around a little bit too much. They could turn him.
Definitely. He's already getting the cheers. He's already getting the love.
It could, but I hope it doesn't. Because like I discussed earlier, we don't have enough main event heels, and that's one of the reasons I think that this is the time to pull it off right now, is because who is left for Del Rio to feud with? As sad as it is, he's only been champion since January, but he's basically used up his feuds. You've gone through Mark Henry supposedly taking time off. Jack Swagger's going to be suspended. So, I mean, you kind of got to move forward. So do you want to move forward with Ziggler versus Del Rio without the Money in the Bank even coming into play yet? Or do you want to have Ziggler grab that belt and create a WrestleMania moment for himself?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to agree too, Greg. I think we went to talk about the same time. But, yeah, it's the right time. I think that Tony nailed it on the head with this being completely in keeping with Dolph's character. I don't think he should be turned face, even if the crowd wants to try and make him face. I think that his persona works so well as a heel. I don't know that it makes a lot of sense as a face. And the other thing is you know, earlier in the show we were talking about you know, people like Fandango and whether they can get over. Dolph Ziggler is proof that you can start with nothing and move forward. Even the Dolph Ziggler gimmick, which was shaking hands with people backstage,
introducing himself,
introducing yourself and shaking hands with people backstage, like that was his character, that was his gimmick for the longest time. You know, just it really does show where a guy could go and from where they started to where they are when it's all said and done. I think that, of course, since we all want it to happen and believe it to happen, that then again the WWE will probably say JK. But I'm going to say they could. I think that they're not. I think that he's going to cash it in, though. I think he's going to cash it in. I think he wins, and I think he should.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be. You know, what's really going to be interesting, and I talk about the crowd a lot, but the WrestleMania crowd really is part of the show. If the tag title match opens the show, they're going to be chanting cash it in. And they're probably going to be chanting for Ziggler, we want Ziggler, during the World Heavyweight Championship match. And so it could definitely be a surprise. Anybody think that he could actually cash in and legit compete in the match versus cashing it in because someone gets beat down or knocked out or something like that? Any thought that he could actually add himself to the official match and then try to win that way?
That'd be showing off.
It would be, but not the type of showing off that Dolph does. I mean, or at least that wouldn't fit with his character. But I mean, it would, but judging by all the cash-ins that he's tried to do in numerous times and how it's always been at the end of a match, it doesn't coincide with what he's been doing. I think it'd be pretty cool, but it would also take any minute steam that match would between Swagger and Del Rio does have. It would take it out of there. It would, I don't know, it's not a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea, but I also think, again, when you look at, I want Ziggler to stay heel, and that's kind of a face move. Like,
right.
You know, I want to go in there and win it. Like, no, that's not what, he wins it and then brags about it, no matter how, you know, cheap it was that he won.
Right. Or, I mean, because he'd have Big E with him, so Big E could interfere. It's just a thought, just trying to think outside the box. It's probably not going to happen, because he could very easily cut a promo the next night that restores that. Or, man, I don't know, though, with the crowd that's going to be at Raw, they're going to love Ziggler no matter what. So it's going to be interesting there. I will put everybody on hold. Sue Young, what do you think, though? Do you think we're going to get the cash in at WrestleMania?
You said thinking outside the box, and I was sitting here thinking, and there are so many things that can happen. I mean, it could get crazy enough where AJ tries to cash in the thing for herself and see if that would work, or maybe she would even, like, during the tag match, they lose, and then she cashes it in, and then they win. You know what I mean? There's so many possibilities. What if Dolph Ziggler puts in the Money in the Bank briefcase to end Undertaker's career? What if he does that, like, right at the end? And then that would be, like, the ultimate show-off thing. I mean, you can win the titles, but, I mean, ending the Undertaker streak, like, that's a title on its own. They never said which title, you know what I mean? And I'm just thinking outside the box as to what all the possibilities mm-hmm. that could happen.
Well, and I know some of our other panelists are probably pulling their hair out at the notion, because I once suggested that when the Miz had the red briefcase, I once suggested he cashed it in for the World Heavyweight Championship in a column at Forum Mania, and people just tore me apart. But I wouldn't be shocked. And the WWE has been they've been very coy about talking about how he can cash it in for a world title, which, you know, he could cash it in on The Rock or John Cena after their match. You know, attacking The Undertaker, if Vince McMahon decides that's what they want to do, that's what they would do. And they would justify
yeah.
it in every way that they possibly could. And talk about the show-off moment. I don't know if they would end the streak that way, just because I think
no,
if they're
they
going to end the streak.
Yeah, like, I don't think they would end the streak that way, but I mean, like, how, like, crazy would it be if he attempted it? You know what I mean?
Right. Oh,
like,
yeah, it would definitely
yeah.
be crazy. AJ trying to do something with the briefcase, especially when she's been acting a little bit crazier lately, that's not too far-fetched. That is good thinking outside the box and something that, could be
interesting. I definitely see that happening. I
yeah,
definitely see something like that happening. And scooting
yep.
over Dolph to making it, like, more tension,
right.
more tension.
Yeah, or even cashing in on behalf of Dolph, just like how she took the tag title match, and maybe you know he cashes in at the start of the World Heavyweight Championship match because AJ does it, and now his only shot with the briefcase is to actually physically compete in the match, just because she's crazy and believes he can beat anybody. But that would be kind of a face thing to see. We'll see. But my official prediction is yes, he will cash in. I don't know if it's because Del Rio wins. And then Swagger attacks him afterwards, or something happens there. But I do think he cashes in. I do think he wins the World Heavyweight Championship. And I do think the crowd goes absolutely nuts for it, which probably isn't the reaction that they want. But we'll see. I don't think he'll turn heel. I did see that opinion out there today. I thought it'd be interesting to talk about, but I do not think it's going to go down that way. So three matches left on the card. We've come to the no-holds-barred match with Triple H's career on the line. So, of course, we're not only predicting the match, we're predicting whether or not Triple H is going to retire at this year's WrestleMania, as he does face Brock Lesnar, no-holds-barred with his career on the line. Tony, what do you think is going to happen in this match?
Who cares? Next. No, I'm sure it'll have its moments of fun, but this is really like a – I mean, really the only person that's blown this up is Triple H. Nobody else has. Nobody – is wanting this match. Nobody cares for it. They're doing it because Triple H thinks he has to. But realistically, you come out of retirement for a match that basically says if you lose, you'll be retired. It's bad storytelling. And I think Triple H is going to lose, and because you can easily write him back into the story if he wants to. It's just that it feels like they're going through the motions here.
He's the COO of the company. If he wants to have a match, he can have a match.
Exactly.
That'll be very easy to justify in the crowd, which is, you know, 75% casual fans that in non-WrestleMania would buy it completely. So we got to pick first pick there for Brock Lesnar. Chad Perry, who do you think's coming out on top of this one?
I think that this feud started out excellent with the Triple H Brock Lesnar beatdown on Raw, where Lesnar got busted open. And since then, outside of Paul Heyman talking, it's kind of been just stuck in neutral. Paul Heyman, I mean, can promote anything. And he's done that with the way that he's handled the feud for Brock. I am actually looking forward to the match. It should be a good match. I think that the Shawn Michaels factor doesn't really add a lot of intrigue to me because I don't feel like WWE is going to go out on the line and have, you know, Shawn Michaels potentially next year's Mania, or screw his best friend. I don't see it happening.
No.
Because, I mean, really, if you're going to go with that match, Triple H needs to be the heel. And it's really that simple. Shawn Michaels is going to be a heel. I'm going to go with Triple H.
No, especially not in Louisiana. In Louisiana, right next to Texas, that's not going down that way.
Exactly. And I'm going to go with Triple H keeping his career here. I mean, I think that Lesnar could use the win more. I said the same thing last April when he came back to face Cena, and he beat Cena like a rag doll for 20 minutes and then lost. And it kind of screwed up Lesnar's whole push, really. But
yeah,
I'm going to go with Triple H taking this win back. Yeah.
There you go.
For sure.
Triple H picks up the victory, not forced to retire, according to Chad Perry. Steve Cook, what are your thoughts?
You know, as much as I love Brock Lesnar and everything he stands for, they sure try their hardest not to make me care about Brock Lesnar. It's amazing. I mean, you know, the whole thing was Cena, of course, last year. And the Triple H match at SummerSlam was, it was all right. Brock won, and then Triple H tried to have his sad walk-off moment. Nobody really paid attention, so I guess that was kind of fun. But then he disappears. He retires every once in a while. He comes back. Triple H decides he's going to come back, but then he might retire if he loses this match. And I hate to be Mr. Negative Internet Guy that accuses Triple H of doing things. I don't want to be that guy, but you know, hell, if I was booking the company, if I had a UFC champion that I was going to get in the ring with, I wouldn't mind being the guy in the no-holds-barred match. Why not? Put myself over. I'd do it. So I don't blame Triple H, and I think that's what he's going to do, and I don't blame it at all. I would do the same thing. That's just me.
Got it. So there
that's
you go.
That's why I'm not for murder.
Well, Triple H is, and he might do it. So it's definitely not outside the realm of possibility. So another victory for Triple H. So far, two Triple H, one Brock Lesnar there. Sue Young, what are your thoughts?
I really want to see Brock Lesnar pull a win on this just because I enjoy seeing him, like, on, you know, whenever they do stuff with him. I enjoy seeing it because he looks like a monster. And, you know, there's not really that kind of presence at WWE, the type of presence that Brock Lesnar brings. But I don't, you know, I don't put it past Triple H if he wins the match because it's Triple H. I mean, you know, he's going to do what he's going to do. But as of my prediction, I think Brock Lesnar is going to come out on top. Unless Vince McMahon has something to do with, like, being on Triple H's side as to Paul Heyman's on Brock's.
Yeah, it's interesting because we know Shawn Michaels is going to be out there. You shouldn't rule out a Vince McMahon appearance or a Stephanie McMahon appearance for that reason either. So it could definitely be interesting to see what they do. And yeah, it's tough. It's tough to pick against the guy who's pretty much running the company right now because he gets to pick his own retirement. Patrick O'Dowd, what do you think is going to happen here?
Again, I kind of go back and forth because I after this match, Triple H kind of goes away and Brock theoretically sticks around. You know, a lot of people talk about, like, if Brock loses, like, he's, like, there's all this momentum and credibility that's gone. You know, essentially, Triple H would be getting a win back with this victory. The story that they're telling right now has been about sort of Lesnar and Paul Heyman's assault on, you know, the McMahon family and the WWE and the company. And so, you know, Triple H being the CEO and the savior, I don't have the big problem that a lot of people seem to do with Triple H. I get that people talk about, like, power plays and power pulls,
right,
or whatever, who cares? You know, the story would come to a logical conclusion if Brock wins. And it would be a war between the two. Like, it's not like it would be something where he would, you know, just dominate Brock Lesnar. Brock wouldn't let that happen in the first place. So, yeah, I think at the end, Triple H is going to go over and sort of get the little victory for the McMahons, and the company. And then we'll move forward from there. I don't think Brock's going to lose that much, if he loses, so I'm comfortable with calling Triple H.
There you go. So another pick for Triple H from the Wrestling Realist, Patrick O'Dowd. My issue with this match, not really with this match, because I think it was one of the better built matches on the card, and I'm fine with it all. Ric Flair retired at WrestleMania. Shawn at the hands of Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels retired at WrestleMania at the hands of The Undertaker. Outside of John Cena or The Undertaker, which is not going to happen again, who else is there that Triple H would feel okay being retired by? And I think Brock Lesnar, having been a former UFC World Heavyweight Champion, is a guy that Triple H would be okay being retired by. Plus, he gets to have his retirement at WrestleMania. He gets to have the same send-off that his buddies had. And unless he wanted to do that for Randy Orton, which I'm not sure he would, given Orton's issues that he's had in the past, I actually think that Brock Lesnar is going to win this match and retire Triple H. And I think the Raw after WrestleMania, much like a few years ago after WrestleMania 26, is going to be about the retirement of Triple H. He's not going to go anywhere because he's, you know, running the company. But I think as he transitions fully into that role, we've said it before, it's hard to run a company and book a company when you're wrestling in it. And Triple H hasn't been an active competitor for years, but I think he's going to go out this way. He could still come back, especially if it's in like a street fight type environment, still get physical. Shawn Michaels has thrown a super kick or two since he retired. I remember a memorable one with Alberto Del Rio a while back. So I actually think Brock Lesnar is going to win this match, and I think he's going to retire Triple H, which brings us to a match which definitely had a lot of people talking after Monday's Raw, and that would be The Undertaker defending the streak 20-0 against CM Punk. Chad Perry, we'll start with you. Your thoughts on this match, especially the recent actions that took place on Raw, and who you think's going to win.
The build to this match has been terrific, in my opinion. The one thing that makes me wonder is, what if William Moody, Paul Bearer had not passed away? What was this feud going to be over? Because, I mean, you just have to think that Creative was sitting there, and they heard the news. They mourned it for about 30 seconds, and they said, we have our angle. Because it's been completely about Paul Bearer's death.
Right.
I had nothing negative to say about the angle on Monday. I thought it was nicely done. I thought that Paul Heyman did a great job, you know, impersonating, dressing up as Paul Bearer. They have round features and such. So I thought that, I think the feud's been good. I think the CM Punk has definitely got the better of The Undertaker, which paints a very clear picture. It wasn't
right.
clear enough at WrestleMania, but The Undertaker's going to go over here. We've been saying, a lot of us, since, you know, December when Punk went out that injury, that he wasn't going to be fully recovered. I still don't think he is, and this is definitely going to be the match where hopefully these guys can just, you know, put that aside. I'm sure they can, because they're both phenomenal athletes. Even Undertaker's pushing 50 now. But both these guys are going to be hurt, and I don't think we'll see either of these guys after WrestleMania. You know, Taker probably until next year, Punk probably for a few months. So I do go with Undertaker going 21-0, though.
There you go, Undertaker 21-0, and you're right. Like the angle that took place, I loved it. I've loved the build as well, and surprised by some negative reaction, but I didn't be. You know, it just kind of depends. Steve, my actual, you know, to answer the question that Chad posed out there, what they would have done had William Moody not passed away, I still think the urn was going to be a part of this story. I don't think they've really changed a whole lot except for the Paul Bearer interaction. And we don't know. We're not creative. We haven't seen the script, so we have no idea what they would have done. Steve, what are your thoughts on the match and, of course, who you think is going to win?
Well, I'm not very creative. I'll agree with you on that. But as far as this feud goes, the thing I like about this feud compared to Undertaker's last few feuds at WrestleMania, mm-hmm. which were all about mutual respect and Triple H and Shawn Michaels wanting to beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania, this is a personal issue.
Right.
And I enjoy personal issue builds a lot more than, you know, builds over, okay, we're going to have a match of the year, or, you know, I'm going to get the victory, I'm going to end your winning streak and whatnot. So CM Punk's been a dickwad this whole feud. It's a good time. I mean, Undertaker's all mad, as he should be. And Undertaker's going to get his revenge in a violent and a brutal fashion at WrestleMania, and there's nothing wrong with that. And the one thing that kind of bugs me, I don't know if it's more of a general thing, not really much to do with what's going on right now, but CM Punk as a heel, the problem is that he's so fun as a heel that then people want to cheer him. And then eventually they turn him face, and then he's not as fun. So it's kind of like a never-ending thing where he keeps ping-ponging back and forth. And it kind of bugs me. That's just my take on that. And I do think that Undertaker gets the win, and CM Punk, he might need to take some time off. And the idea that I've seen floated out there and I've kind of bought into is that since CM Punk is also managed by Paul Heyman, who also manages somebody else, that somebody else might take out CM Punk.
It'd be interesting to see, and it could happen on Raw. I don't think that would happen at Mania. That could happen on Raw. The interesting thing you talked about, how people just do, you know, it's hard to hate CM Punk because he's such a great performer. He's going to have some support, especially there'll be some dueling chants at this WrestleMania match. And I think when the Undertaker goes over, he'll get the huge Undertaker pop. Like everyone's going to cheer for both guys is kind of what I think is going to happen. And then as the match goes on, Punk will do some dastardly things during this match, though, and to really try to get the crowd behind the Undertaker. So great point, though, about the way that people love CM Punk. Sue Young, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on the angle, first of all?
The angle is very interesting, and especially with the passing of Paul Bearer, RIP. I I was very shocked with the way they did things, but at the same time, it didn't really, you know, it wasn't very shocking because it is WWE. But as for the angle, I feel that WrestleMania is going to be really, really nice because it's going to be a really nice touching moment when Undertaker wins with the, you know, the ode to Paul Bearer. And I feel like it's definitely going to, you know what I mean? Like, it's going to be like, yeah, that's the way it should have been. And with CM Punk and, you know, Paul Heyman, I'm not totally sure what's going to happen. I know that it's going to be a very, very good match, though. You can already tell it's going to be a very, very good match.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely going to be a great match. So another pick for The Undertaker, not surprising at all. Patrick O'Dowd, your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I'm gonna make it what I'm assuming when you make your pick, we'll make it a sweep too. I think there's no way The Undertaker loses this match. In regards to the angle, I've been okay with it from the get-go, and I understood why people could be uncomfortable with it, but then when I look at a lot of the different reasons or a lot of the different things that have happened throughout the history of the WWE, there's a lot of factors that told me that, you know, while it may be tasteless in some people's opinion, in mine it's not. You know, everything from Moody's sons and one of Michael in particular, I think, who came out, even with this last bit where there, you know, there was a Facebook message that was posted where he said, you know, it didn't look how we expected it. And then later, you know, he made contact with WWE saying, no, we understood what you were saying. It was just hard to watch,
right?
Which I get. And, you know, absolutely, I could see how that could be hard to watch. There's never been a real indication of what's been in the urn. The urn's been opened before. Ashes have been dumped on people before. I think this time around, fans put a name on it, and that's what has made some people queasy. But this is by no means the most tasteless thing, you know, that the WWE has done. I mean, we've had necrophilia, for God's sakes. Like, we've had people supposedly have sex with dead people. That's far worse. You know, a senior citizen giving birth to a hand. And I think that the way that this has been told and the way the story has gone, it's not like CM Punk has sat around and pissed all over Paul Bearer's ashes. They've made fun of him. You know, they've done some disrespectful things, yes, but it's not, I think it's done a good job of generating heat. People do, you know, dislike Punk for this. I think that it's going to continue to happen in Mania. And then, like Sue said, I think what ultimately makes it okay for me, and what I'm comfortable with and what I expect and look forward to, is that when The Undertaker wins, that it's going to be a tribute or an homage to William Moody and Paul Bearer and his memory. And that, you know, if you ask anybody, you know, like in the business, if there was a way to be recognized or honored, I can't imagine that people would have a problem with sort of the idea that The Undertaker has won this match for Paul Bearer.
Yeah, no, and I think that there's nothing wrong with that. I think people would love that, and it would definitely be an appropriate tribute. And I think you're right about, you know, it was difficult for the family to watch. They didn't realize how they were going to feel, and I think that's something that we could all, even if we can't relate to it because we haven't had that experience, I think we can all understand. Tony, it sounds like Patrick forgot about you. I just said I was going to make it a clean sweep, but I haven't forgotten about you. So what do you think about this match and who's going to win?
Oh, you know I'm excited. And, you know, I know that The Undertaker is going to win, as he should. In terms of the build, I mean, you know, I look at it this way. At least nobody said Paul Bearer was in hell, which would make a little bit more sense this time around. But anyways, I'm offensive myself, so this doesn't bother me in the least. It's storytelling. I'm the same guy that got arrested for writing a story, so I have no sympathy for people that get offended from fiction. I've enjoyed it. Punk is Punk. The Undertaker is The Undertaker, and this match is going to be great. And I agree with Patrick and Sue that it's probably going to be pretty heart-wrenching. Like, they're going to pull the strings up.
Of course.
And if they don't, they're missing an opportunity, not just for emotion, but just for a person that really, truly deserves that moment.
Yep. Yeah, and I agree with you and what Patrick said. He's going to get that moment 100%. CM Punk's going to eat some shots from the urn. You know, they're going to make it look like it's across the head when it isn't. And CM Punk's losing this match. This whole story has been good versus evil, which is like Chad alluded to, as he was talking about earlier. That's what this feud has really been about, has been good versus evil. It's been very refreshing to see because the last few years, the Undertaker feud hasn't been about that, and that's kind of what's been needed. And so I'm glad that it has been that way. The Undertaker's winning this match, barring some freak accident happening during the match or something like that. There's just no way that the Undertaker is not losing this match or not winning this match. He will walk away 21-0, and will continue the streak for at least a little bit longer. But that's another conversation for another time. So clean there as we go into the main event for the WWE Championship. John Cena has a shot at Revolution, going 1-1 with The Rock, the WWE champion. I'm going to change the order up a little bit, so pay close attention there. So we're going to start off with Chad Perry. Chad, give us your thoughts on the match and, of course, who you think is going to win.
You know, last year's match was a little bit of a disappointment, for being honest, and I think that this year's build has not done much to rectify that. It didn't help with The Rock not being around. That's not his fault. You know, movies come first for him, and I totally understand that. You know, I hate to be the internet booker like everyone is, but Cena's promos have been very similar to those of Austin's that I mentioned earlier for WrestleMania 17. And to see Cena turn heel would be phenomenal. It's not going to happen. I think to see Cena turn heel and form a two-man team with Orton, a la Triple H, and Austin from 2001 would be phenomenal as well, but it's just not going to happen. So, you know, obviously we're going for WrestleMania for the third match between these two. If you have Cena win here, really the build for the third match basically becomes the same build you had for the first match.
Right.
It almost makes more sense for Rock to win here. But at the same time, logically, you know, we know Rock's going to be there next month, and they could blow this off at the Extreme Rules pay-per-view, which would be nice. So I'm going to go with Cena winning the belt here, and we'll see what they go with from there. Hopefully they come up with some heels for him to face.
Yeah, well, it'll definitely be interesting to see. But John Cena going over does seem to make sense in that regard, as you were saying there. So we'll find out. Steve Cook, what do you think is going to happen in this one?
It kind of feels like a trilogy to me with Rock and Cena. We got the first taste of 28. Get our second taste here, and then probably the third one, WrestleMania 30, if I had to guess. That's just what I'm speculating, and it seems like it's the logical thing to me. John Cena, I know a lot of people are talking about the would he turn heel. Might that happen? And the thing I keep going back to why I don't think that'll happen is I'm not sure who you have as a top babyface if John Cena's a heel. I don't have a good answer for that. So there's a lot of might-bes, a lot of could-bes.
Right, exactly. Like, do they use him to put over Ryback? Like, it's just John Cena as a heel is so crazy to think because heels typically lose in the end, and we just can't see John Cena in that light. So it'd be very interesting to see what they would do. And yeah, it could be interesting if they go WrestleMania 30, if they try to wait a year, do something different, and go 31 with the third match in the trilogy. But I agree with you. This does have trilogy written all over it.
Yeah,
to do that.
Well, I think the match itself is – I mean, The Rock's had a couple of tough outings since he came back this last time. The Punk match is not really the best. He's been kind of, I don't know, given out a little early, I guess. But I think he'll bring it up this time. Him and Cena, a good match, I thought, at last year's WrestleMania. And I think the crowd will definitely add an extra oomph to it. And when Cena gets a big win, the people are not going to be happy, but what can you do?
Yep. Oh, yeah. No, I definitely – agree with you on that one. It'll be interesting to see what they do in terms of the heel turn. So, Sue Young, your thoughts on the match?
I believe that John Cena will be winning, but if The Rock does win, I think that we're going to see a different side to John Cena a little bit more, and then the trilogy continues, you know what I mean? Like, I think the trilogy is more along the lines of, like, the WrestleMania matches, because, I mean, they had, like, a great match on, I want to say, on the last pay-per-view. And I think it's awesome that they're having these two work together because, I mean, they work really well together, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think they come out with really good matches. But if The Rock does retain, I think that we are going to see not really a full heel turn from John Cena, but I feel like there is going to be a, sort of a heel persona within John Cena, and he might be a little bit more Stone Cold Steve Austin-ish as Steve Satin. So that's my prediction.
There you go. So John Cena wins, but and actually just to, so you are going John Cena, but there is some if there with The Rock, correct?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Just definitely wanted to make sure, just to make sure that we're all clear on that. Tony Acero, as The Rock goes one-on-one with your favorite wrestler, John Cena, what do you think is going to happen in this match?
A trilogy, this definitely is. The Empire Strikes Back, this definitely is not. the Rock's going to lose. And, you know, Sue Young's idea about John Cena altering his character, I swear to God, I would support that to no end. You know, I've always had the same complaint. It's not that he's a face. It's not that he's a heel. It's that he's a horrible character. So an alteration of any kind, I mean, you know, really, I don't want to say there's nothing they can't do to make it worse, because there's a lot they can do. But if they put a little bit more edge on him, if they drop the comedy shtick, if they follow suit with Cena fan, meaning if they grow up the same time Cena grows up, then they may have something. They may have longevity in a character. They will have long-term fans. Mm-hmm. They will have something that they can agree on. Because kids are fickle, and they will hit an age where they hate the favorite because it's the cool thing to do. And we're getting to that stage. John Cena has been the guy for quite some time. It's only a matter of time before his fans turn on him and join those who already dislike him. So, yeah, if there's an alteration in character, I'm fully supporting it. But either way, I really think he's going to win.
Yeah, you know, if they learn from history, which you know, it would be amazing, but history would tell them just that. Like their fan base grew up before. That was the justification for the Attitude Era. The fan base could grow up now, not to the Attitude Era, but because we're in a different day and age for the company and a family-friendly day and age, but heel John Cena or tweener John Cena could definitely be a part of that. So we'll see if they go that direction or not. Patrick O'Dowd, what are your thoughts on the match? And, of course, are you on the same line as John Cena winning this one?
I want to start by echoing the sentiments that everybody else has laid out as far as how good I think it would be for the John Cena character if he were to. I would say full-on heel. I don't even know that I would want him as a tweener. You know, maybe if it was a gradual progression. That all being said, you know, the WWE's pattern with John Cena has been very, very consistent for a very, very long time. And there's been a lot of opportunities where we've speculated that he's going to turn heel. And so I'm going to ask them to prove me wrong. And I'll take the check mark in the loss column if he does, you know, lose and that leads to a gradual heel turn. I think he's going to win. I think he and The Rock are going to be tied 1-1, and it's going to, as it's been said, it's going to set up the rubber match for WrestleMania 30, and that's what it's going to be. Thrice in a lifetime is what we're going to get. So, yeah, John Cena wins. He's your new WWE champion. And we'll see you all again for WrestleMania 30.
You know, I can't argue against that, except I wonder if they wait to 31 and do something else for 30. But, you know, if they want to go out big on 30, they could definitely go with that. So it'll be interesting to see. The John Cena character and the evolution of the John Cena character has been very interesting during this feud. I've enjoyed some of what he's done. I really liked the in-ring debate they had, which it scared me when they set it up, and then it turned out way better than I expected it would, and probably better than it deserved to be. I can't see John Cena losing, because then you've got to basically go 3 out of 5 for him to win, and they just can't let him lose out to The Rock in the end. The Rock has already been declared as the greatest WWE superstar of all time. That's what the first match was about. This one, I think that John Cena wins, ties it up, and we do get the rubber match at some point. I do think we're going to see a change for John Cena, and I do think he's going to go to some. I don't know if he'll go full-on heel, because I read an interview with Michael Cole just today where he talked about their Susan G. Komen initiative they did last year and how that was all John Cena's idea. And it just reminded me of how much John Cena means to the company and how much he means with the kids and with the marketing and everything else. And I just think for those reasons, that heel turn's not going to happen as much as I want to, and I definitely do.
wanted to do that. So I officially go John Cena. As we get ready, our show will go off the air on the live stream, but we'll still be recording for the archive. And we're only going to go a short period of time longer, not too much longer on that in general. But do come back and hear that if you miss it out, and check out online to see what we do Sunday, because I'm not even sure what we'll do Sunday yet as we follow up or precede WrestleMania. So clean sweep for John Cena, as we see there. Chris, questions for you guys in terms of the match of the night and maybe the surprise performance of the night. We'll go match of the night. Tony, we'll start with you. What do you think is going to stand out as the best match on the card?
Ooh, tough question. Best match? I don't know. I think they're all going to be pretty solid. I think Fandango is going to really surprise people. I think that The Undertaker and CM Punk is going to be solid as well. I don't know. I mean, I'm never good at picking best matches. I would say anyone with Dolph Ziggler, but because it's a tag match, it might be more show than anything.
Right.
Let's just go with it. We've got Dolph and Brian in there, so I'm gonna go with the tag team championship match.
There you go, tag team championship match, and it sounds like you got Fandango penciled in as your biggest surprise of the night.
Yeah, definitely.
So there we go, Steve. What do you think? What do you think is gonna take the match of the night honors?
I'm going back and forth. Like Tony kind of said, these are all matches that could definitely contend for the title. I think that no-holds-barred match with Triple H and Brock Lesnar, they're going to have a lot of bells and whistles going on, probably some blood and guts, because, heck, it's WrestleMania. Why not? So I think they're going to put on a heck of a show and take that match the night odd. And for the surprise performance of the night, everybody's saying Fandango, of course, but I'm going to go with the other rookie, Big E Langston. I think he's going to look good against Steve Rye, and he's going to stand up against Kane. So I think he's going to look very good in that tag team title match.
You know, the point you brought up about Triple H is a very good point, because say this is his last match, you know he's going to want to go out with a memorable performance too.
Yep.
And that's the and so definitely nothing wrong with that one there. Sue, what do you think? What do you think is going to really stand out once this show is done?
I think that The Undertaker versus CM Punk will definitely be the standout match. It's not because they're going to have a phenomenal match. It's because, you know, the ending's going to be a real tearjerker, and everyone's going to remember that. And if you do not cry, or at least feel bad, or like feel something at the end of that match, you have no soul, I think, in my opinion. You probably have no soul, and you probably are a very sad person. But as to who will have the surprise performance of the night, I want to say, of course, Fandango and Chris Jericho are going to have, like Chris Jericho is going to pull out the best out of him, and everyone's going to be very, very shocked about it. But I also want to go with Biggie Langston, and I'm not totally sure why, but maybe we will see some wrestling out of Cameron. I'm not totally sure. But just maybe, we just might be a little shocked by Cameron. Because it is WrestleMania. You never know what might just happen. So
that's true. That is, that you just never know. You're right, it is WrestleMania. So Patrick O'Dowd, it's official. The next time we have Sue Young on the air, you are going to admit that you cried during the end of WrestleMania, even if you don't, just because you know you want
to. Well, I mean, anything to stay in Sue's good graces, man. Like, I'm not about to mess that up. Are you kidding?
Of course not. Of course not. So what do you think is going to stand out on this one?
I think the easy answer to fall into is CM Punk versus The Undertaker, because, you know, as Sue laid it out, the ending is going to be huge. But the storytelling and the build, you know, we've talked about the build of some of these various matches. It really has, in my opinion, been the best build, or at least had the best climactic build on the go-home show for Raw. That being said, I think the Shield versus Sheamus, Randy Orton, and the Big Show is going to be the one that I'm going to tag as my sleeper match of the night. I think that, you know, it's every time the Shield has come out and been a part of a major match, they've delivered, and it's been delivered in a great way. And I think that you're going to see them get tossed around a lot. You're going to see them tossing back. I think that it's going to be a little bit of everything. Like, there's going to be a lot of, you know, you're going to see Tyler Black, I'm a little tired, so I'm losing his name. Seth Rollins, you're going to see him fly around, get tossed by like a rag doll. You're going to see him take some risks. You're going to see some big power moves out of Sheamus, the Big Show, and damn it, I'm sorry, I'm losing it. But Orton. You're gonna see it out of not Orton.
Reigns.
Thank you. But my apologies. But you're gonna see. I think you're gonna see a lot of good stuff, and I think that has a real opportunity to be, regardless of which way they go with the result, it's gonna be a pretty good match.
Yep. Yeah. And you know, for me, surprise performance of the night. I do think it's going to be Fandango. I think people are going to be shocked at what this guy does with Jericho, and it's going to be the springboard for him and his career that he can have moving forward. And I actually agree with Patrick Riddell on the match of the night. Every match the Shield has been in, I have absolutely loved. And I just think that when it's over, we're gonna look back on this WrestleMania as the night that everyone realized that the Shield, these three guys are the future of the WWE in so many ways. And I think that that's what this is gonna mean. And even if they lose, we're gonna look back at this WrestleMania as sort of that watershed moment for those guys. And I think that's where we're gonna go moving forward from them in the future. So I am gonna pick the Shield's performance along with the Big Show, Sheamus, and Randy Orton as the match of the night. So, Patrick O'Dowd, anything for the good listeners before you sign off?
No, other than this is a bye show. Without question, I mean, it's Mania and it's always a bye, but I think this has a card with some real potential and a lot of good matches.
There you go. Excellent, Patrick O'Dowd. We'll talk to you on whatever form we do this on Sunday. Steve Cook, any final thoughts for our listeners?
Well, I mean, this to me, the most wonderful time of the year. I mean, this is WrestleMania is always the best time to be a wrestling fan. I mean, you got baseball going on, you got college basketball going on. Just it's a great time to be alive, Greg DeMarco. It's great to be back here with you folks. I've had a blast tonight. And we're past 1 o'clock here. I don't care. It's all good, man. I gotta be up a couple hours, but that's fine. I don't care.
It was good to have you back on, and I'm glad you came back on. And I'll tell you what, we'll definitely do this more often, in my opinion. So, and it won't be nearly as late when we do it again. So, and Steve, just for you.
I am perfection.
Yeah.
Cook.
Tony, final thoughts for the people.
I'm amazing, and you're not. No, buy the show. If you're not buying it, go to a friend's house or a bar or someplace that sells hot wings. Please, I implore you, do not stream this. I understand that it's expensive, but as a wrestling fan, you need to support it no matter what. Catch as many indie shows as you can. That's what I've been trying to do. Like Steve Cook said, this is a great time of the year, and it's one of the few times come Sunday where every single thing that we do on 411 Mania, on this radio show, on everything that we do comes into fruition as to the reason why we do it.
Yep.
The one day where we get to turn everything off, our analytical bullshit, our holier-than-thou stance, our idea that we can actually book this crap on a week-to-week basis. You know, just the mentality that we are doing better than the WWE. This is the one day where we could turn that off and just be a fan. So just be a fan.
There you go. Tony Axon, we'll talk to you on Sunday or whenever we're able to talk to you there. Soo Young, we're not going to do the commercial. I've decided. We're just
going to wait on.
What's that?
We're not going to do the commercial?
Unless you want to. I just figured as late as it is and as long as we've gone.
No, we can do the commercial.
Like I said, we're going to do the commercial. What? What do you
mean? I thought you said we weren't. I got really
sad. Going to. We weren't
going
to. I was going to hold off on it, but since you got so sad, we can definitely do the commercial.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that whatsoever. So we can definitely get that going. What I am going to do is pull up the old script, and we'll do that. Yes, we do have a commercial script, everybody. If you are listening at home, what we're recording is, of course, a commercial to use for the Sunday edition of the Greg DeMarco Show, which does take place over at Sports Rants Radio, sportsrants.com/radio, and the show that we do on every Sunday. Easily, and I'm not, you know, doctoring any numbers or anything, we have the most listened to show on the network. And it is, you know, thanks to people just like the beautiful and talented Soo Young. So we're going to record that commercial. What we're going to do is essentially the dialogue, Soo, and then I will do the fancy editing and some sound and some music later. So
Yeah.
So we have that now. Now, are you set? Do you have your words in front of you? Ready to impromptu interrupt me, even though it's written down on a piece of paper? So everyone gets
to
see.
We're about to make this
now.
As organic as possible.
Exactly. Exactly. So we will do that. So we'll get started. So everybody listen around, and we'll get going here in 3, 2, 1. This is Greg DeMarco inviting you to listen to my show, The Greg DeMarco Show, with myself and my best friend, Patrick O'Dowd.
And this is Sue Young, the sexy DeMarquette, who joins the show every week and drives Patrick O'Dowd wild.
Sue!
What? I know they all listen because it's the best wrestling radio program in the history of the universe. Listen, people, I like a lot of things, but there's only one wrestling show I love, and that's The Greg DeMarco Show.
Well, I appreciate that, too, and I invite everyone to hear Patrick and myself, our hilarious cast of regulars, including the beautiful Sue Young, the DeMarquettes,
like me,
and the best guest list in the business, and the most on-point and opinionating wrestling analysis every Sunday night at 10 p.m.
and 11 o'clock on pay-per-view Sundays.
That's right, Sue. It's The Greg DeMarco Show every Sunday night right here on Sports Rants Radio.
My favorite show, The Greg DeMarco Show, the best wrestling radio program on the planet.
On the planet. That was perfect. That was beautiful. That was outstanding.
I love it.
Yep, it was good. And like I said, I won't even have to do that much editing. It'll be wonderful. And we'll have ourselves a commercial that'll run on every single show on Sports Rants Radio. So very good. Wonderful. And Sue, I did have a bonus question. You alluded to it before, but we'll still bring it to the listeners. You were in developmental, and this is kind of the developmental WrestleMania, where it's got so many guys who've come out of NXT and FCW. And is there anyone in particular that you see on this card that you're just so thrilled for them and so happy for them that they're getting an opportunity because you knew them or worked with them when you were down there in Florida yourself?
There are a lot of people. I mean, Biggie Langston was probably one of my best friends in when I was in developmental. So I'm super excited to see him. Like, I definitely, like, screamed when I saw him on my TV. I'm definitely happy for everybody who's been there when I was in developmental, like Naomi, Cameron, even though, you know, she was there for a short time. You know, the list can go on and on, but the biggest person that I'm, like, I mean, Brodus Clay was in development when I was there, and he was on TV
right.
automatically. But the biggest person that I'm very, very proud of and very, very happy for is Fandango. It's because he's been in developmental for so long. He's been working so hard. And, you know, I don't know how to explain it other than, like, finally, kind of, like, it's that finally moment. He's finally here. He's on WrestleMania. I mean,
right.
You know, being stuck in developmental for so long and actually, like, going through it and putting up through it, like, developmental is hard. And especially when you see a lot of people go up before you. I can feel his pain on that. And, you know, finally being the guy that, like, finally on WrestleMania, this is just a huge moment for him. I'm really, really happy for him.
Yeah, it's funny, and I want to give the fans some perspective. He made his wrestling debut, in 1999, the same year as Kurt Angle and TNA's Kazarian. They both debuted in 1999. Started in developmental in 2006. So you're talking about a 7-year career for this guy already in the WWE before becoming Fandango. So yeah, it is amazing to see that. And Sylvia, I think people are going to be shocked by this dude. I really do. I think he's going to be just amazingly over. I think he's going to have a huge impact on the business in general. At the very least, he's going to have like a gold dust level impact because I think his character could go in that direction. But he could also be bigger than that, in my opinion. So,
totally.
So it is interesting, and you have that perspective that no one else can offer, and it is good to have you do that. And I hope you had fun doing something a little bit different on our show, a little bit of a preview for WrestleMania. Preview.
Yeah.
So
this
excellent.
Is awesome.
Well, I'm glad that
it.
You glad that you liked it, Sue, and I do hope you enjoy watching WrestleMania. How do you plan to watch the event itself on Sunday?
I will be on travel, so I will be watching WrestleMania with a bunch of people that I grew up in the business with over in Tennessee. So
okay.
I'm super excited about that. Yeah.
Excellent. Very good. So wonderful. We hope everything goes there. We hope you travel safely. And we'll definitely bring you back on either next week or the week after. I don't even know if we're doing a show on Sunday. I haven't decided yet. So we'll find out there. Sue, there's only one way to say goodbye to you from the program, and that is this way. Sue, we appreciate you coming on. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye, guys.
There you go, everybody. Sue Young. Only way you can hear her like this is on The Greg DeMarco Show. We appreciate you tuning in. We hope you enjoyed our WrestleMania preview. It's a huge card coming up. We hope you enjoy it. We hope you watch it. And we definitely look forward to entertaining you again right here on The Greg DeMarco Show with Greg DeMarco and Patrick O'Dowd, normally heard every Sunday night on Sports Rants Radio.
Let's hear it for me!
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Greg DeMarco Show on the 411media.com 5-in-1 article. Happy birthday to you.
This is Becky, and you are listening to The Greg DeMarco Show with Greg DeMarco and Patrick O'Dowd.
You're listening to The Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and that came off really weird. Oh my god, see, this is what happens when you're trying too hard. That's what happens. Third time's a charm. This is The Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and you're listening to The Greg DeMarco Show, the only show, the best show on the web.
Because you know you're so hot!
See, I'm going to get off the phone. I'm going to think of something so much better.
Greg DeMarco Show.
You're welcome!